The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And today is March 19th, 2023. And here are the topics that we will discuss on this week's edition of the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Former President Donald Trump has now posted on Truth Social this morning that he will be arrested Tuesday of next week. He called the Manhattan District Attorney's Office highly political and called for protests to, quote, take our nation back.
He was held down on the ground, prone on the ground for 12 minutes by all seven of our defendants charged here, including this one. So much so that they smothered him, and they smothered him to death.
I saw for the first time 3 days ago.
I don't know what happened. All I know is what I saw. What I saw was a 45-second conversation in the lobby. 45 seconds. And then they went their separate ways. That's all I know.
I have no idea what was said between him and the young lady he was talking to.
Our Republican lawmaker is seeking to eliminate the party entirely. A bill filed today called the Ultimate Cancel Act would decertify any political party that previously advocated for slavery.
Online radio at its best.
When you ask God for something, God boxes it up, puts your name on it, and he ships it the day you ask for it. Soon as you ask for it, he ships it. The problem with the package is he never tells you the date that it's going to arrive. If he did that, it would destroy the one element that he requires, your faith. So God sends your package, but he only delivers to Faith Street. If you step off of Faith Street and you go over here to I Don't Believe It Boulevard, he don't ship there. If you step over here to I Don't See How Avenue, he don't ship there. If you step over here to Ain't No Way Circle, he don't ship there. The package only goes to Faith Street. What happens to the average person is that when the package arrives and you ain't on Faith Street, it's just like the post office and FedEx, UPS. If you ain't there, the package got to go back.
Three four seven eight five zero one two seven two is our call-in number. It is the Serious Side on a beautiful Sunday. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. If you're not giving up for God, or if you're just sitting around relaxing, we want you guys to enjoy the show, and we appreciate you. I'm J. Ryle. Thank you so much for being here. And as always, I never share this stage by myself. My big sister's in the house. Miss Elias is in the house as well. Let's say good morning to them both. What's going on, big sis? Welcome into the show, and how are you?
Hey, how y'all?
I don't know. I have a funny feeling that everybody's going to be smiling this morning, but who knows? We're doing fine. At least I am. Hope everything is going well with you, my love. Hope everything is going well with you. Uh-oh, you're breaking up, so I'm not sure where you are. Maybe you're somewhere abroad as always.
You know what I'm doing? I'm in the kitchen seasoning ribs before I go to church so I can throw them in the oven. But you said,
oh, look at
smiling.
You said, throw that in our face, why don't you? Okay. Well, throw that in our face, why don't you, that you're doing something with ribs and, you know, I'm sitting here starving like Marvin for a Cool J song.
No, you're not.
You're talking about ribs, but
not.
That's okay. Well, I'll let you make it.
Okay.
I will let you make it this morning because you are freezing ribs on this beautiful Sunday. Kind of chilly, but, you know, once again, glad that you're here. Thank you so much for being who you are. The man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house as well. What's going on, my brother from another mother? Glad that you are here. What's happening with you?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to you and one. Good morning, Master One. Good morning, Momo B. One. Good morning, Resista. One. Good morning, Rodelia. One. Good morning, Kathleen. One. Good morning, Mary the Music. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
Once again, the number is 347-850-1272. Glad you guys are a part of it. And if you listen to the show, you know what time it is. We kind of rapid clap during this section of the show. You know, saw something yesterday that made me smile as well. Putin. An arrest warrant has been issued for President Vladimir Putin for his crimes against humanity, and especially what's happening in Ukraine. You know, Mr. Elias, sometimes when they do these things, I know it's a real arrest warrant, and I know that, you know, if they catch him in the right situation, which we doubt, he will be arrested. But, come on, isn't this more symbolic than anything? What are the chances of Vladimir Putin being arrested on war crimes? Because remember, the same council issued an arrest warrant for George W. Bush because of his activities in Iraq. What say you?
That's all it is. It's symbolic, man, because, you know, George Bush is never going to travel abroad like that to be arrested. So, you know, it's symbolic. That's all it is. It makes people feel better about what's going about them, to let them think that they're normal people. But these people will never be arrested for any hate, for any crimes that they commit against humanity. Let's just call it what it is, man.
Same question for you, Vanessa. What do you think? You think this is more symbolic than anything, or do you think that there is a possibility? Because there is a possibility that they could catch him slipping, but come on. Usually when heads of states move around, they notify countries that they're moving around. Like when President Biden visited Ukraine, trust me, Russia was notified that the president would be in that area. And they were like, you mess up and do something, you ain't got no business. Trust me, we're going to deal with you. So you definitely do this as standard protocol to let other nations know when a head of state is in a conflict area. So what do you think, Vanessa? Once again, do you think it's a situation where they're just, it sounds good, but it will never come to fruition? Just give me your thoughts on this whole thing that now he is a wanted man. Putin is a wanted man, and there is a warrant for his arrest issued.
Okay, I hear you, but I'm trying to understand why you're saying all of this. How are they supposed to arrest him? Go over there and go get him? I mean, is he supposed to come over here?
It's not here. It's an international arrest warrant. So basically, they have charged him with war crimes in Ukraine. And we all know that's what he's doing because he can't win the war mano a mano. Well, they're not going to get him. That's my point. They're not. And so, yeah, that's the point, Vanessa. It's issue.
It's a bunch of crap. They're not going to be able to get him. He's not going to step out of line for them to get him. I just saw him on TV walking around Russia and stuff yesterday. So, I mean, ain't nothing going to happen to this man? Please. It's just, okay. If you don't want me to say it's a bunch of crap. It's not going to happen, J. Ryle.
No. Say this is the beauty of Vanessa. Vanessa's like, I don't care what radio etiquette says. I say it's a bunch of boo doo doo. Say what you want to say. This is why we love you so much. So if it's a bunch of crap, it is a bunch of crap. Go ahead, carry on.
That's it. That's all I want to say. Nothing's going to happen to him. They're not going to go over there and get him. And it's just a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper.
So it's more symbolic than anything. I guess what this does, and we see this a lot in a lot of different things, right? You know, you, for example, when Congress put forth a bill, they know the bill's going to get, you know, but people said that the impeachment was symbolic because they said there was no way on God's green earth they were going to get an impeachment on Donald Trump. No way. And so it's like, why even go through the process, waste taxpayer money, when you know the end result's going to be, the bottom line is, he's going to walk. So I guess, you know, once again, what we're looking at here, especially with this whole thing with Putin and Russia, is the fact that, come on, I mean, you're not going to arrest this man. It's not going to happen. Just like, you know, George Bush, he's been, his arrest warrant was issued, what, over a decade ago, still in Texas, painting pictures. You know, so I guess the big thing here is that society has to show, and I think they do this for historical purposes, Mr. Elias, to show that they just didn't sit on their hands and didn't do anything. They acknowledged that, you know, in George W. Bush's case, that, you know, his war in Iraq was bogus. And in this case with Putin, what he's doing to the Ukrainian people, they want history to be reflected that they did the right thing. Same way with the impeachment. So I guess, you know, it serves a purpose. Historical-wise, but in the words of the great Pete Rose, Mr. Elias, what did he say when they said, hey, you know what, one day you'll end up in the Hall of Fame? And what did he say, Mr. Elias? You know, paraphrasing words.
It's pretty much, I don't want to end up, I want to see it while I'm alive, not when I'm dead.
I don't care about it once I'm dead.
Yeah.
I don't care about that mess. I want to see it now. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right. March Madness is in full effect. Now, Vanessa, you and I are going to have to sit on the sidelines on this one because I haven't paid attention to it, to be perfectly honest with you. And so I know Mr. Elias is on top of stuff like this, man. So far, did you fill out a bracket this year, Mr. Elias?
No, I didn't because it's useless.
Whoa.
It is useless.
Wait. Hold them up.
Hello. Yeah, get him, Vanessa. Get him, Vanessa.
How you going to say I got to sit on the sidelines?
Well,
you don't know.
Okay, my bad. You're right. I don't know. I apologize, and I'll do my push-ups. Well, there you go. I mean, you just proved my point by trying to, you know, jump on me.
You don't know.
Well, okay, I have a strong feeling. I got a strong feeling that you're not going to have a clue of what we're talking about, but I could be mistaken. So let me ask you, Vanessa, did you fill out a bracket?
No, my daughter did.
Okay, well, there you go. Always see, I'm not talking to your daughter. I'm talking to you. So you did not fill a bracket out. So for you to be, well, I did know that. I've been doing a show with you for how many years? Every time this comes up, you haven't filled out one bracket. Thank you. So I already know that you didn't do it. But you're right. I shouldn't assume because you know what they say about that word. You break that word down, and it says, as you and me. So guess what? I'm not going to assume any longer. And next year at this time, if God's willing, I will ask you again. You know, what do you think about it? And so we'll have that conversation at that time. Anyway, Mr. Elias, so NCAA, what we got going on, brother? Brackets,
man,
are busted.
I don't think there's one complete bracket that is out of the millions that were filled out.
They said there were 800 yesterday. So that number's gone down. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Immensely, man. Purdue lost to a number 16, which is never.
I didn't know.
Yeah, the number one seed, Purdue, lost. And then
somebody else lost
yesterday. Yeah, the brackets are busted, man. So I never fill out a bracket anymore, man, because, you know, one of my frat brothers said, he said it puts people in a position that when you're a number one seed against a 16, the 16 is going to play their butts off, and they did. And it was Furman University that beat Purdue. And Furman hasn't been in the NCAA tournament since the 50s. They beat Purdue, and Purdue was a number one seed, man. So
wow,
yeah, it's people's brackets have busted up.
Yeah, it's interesting because the person that wins usually wins these things are people who are not basketball fans. It's almost like when you look at, you know, hey, everyone knows, well, everyone may not know this, but people who are close to me knows that I'm an excellent domino player. You know, I'm an excellent domino player. And it's like when I have to admit, the last 3 years, you know, my record has probably been subpar or even, you know, even cash because, you know, I don't play as much as I used to. So it's like, all of a sudden when I start playing again, it's not, you know, my skills. I'm telling you, I can recognize my skills are faltering. I mean, Mr. Elias, you know, actually is leading in a head-to-head between he and I now. Mr. Elias has gotten better. I have to admit it. He plays a lot better than he did when we first started. But yeah, I still should be kicking his tail, but I've digressed. My neighbor next door,
what?
Same thing. I mean, this dude, stop. Stop it. Stop me.
You stop.
Stop it.
You stop.
Stop this nonsense. Stop this nonsense.
You stop.
Everybody knows that knows me knows that I am a dominant domino player. But the last 3 years, Vanessa, I have to admit, you know, I've been walking out of, you know, situations 500 or barely, you know, above 500. I'm like, oh, my God. When I used to walk into these same situations and just dominate and talk trash while I did it. So, anyway, domino tournament coming up next weekend.
Cousin,
yes.
Wasn't you and my cousin, the plumber, sitting over at the table having it out with the dominoes?
Yeah. Yeah, we were. Uh-huh. And like I said, you know, like I said, I think I left all the out of all the games I played that day at your place, I think I probably walked away under five. I know I did. I know I didn't win. I lost more than I won. But in fairness to me, I'm not a four. You know, I've never been a fan of playing four hands in dominoes. I've never been a fan of that. I never been a fan of it. So because you, and that four, the four people that are sitting at the table, trust me, somebody in that table can't play, and it just messes up the dynamics. Now, if you got four strong domino players, that's a whole different ball game. But if you have one that's a rookie, then you know it ain't gonna work. So it's just hard for me. And that's no excuse. I should still be dominant, but you know, I can't win.
It works for you when it's the right kind of people playing at the table. Like, you really should have a choice.
It's not the right kind of people, Vanessa. It's just people that has the skill set. Well, no, it's just people. Well, yeah, okay, fine. The right kind of people. It's just people who knows how to play dominoes because it's a game of wits. Mr. Elias can attest to this now that he's kind of graduated to that next level. It's a game of wits.
Oh, my God.
You try. Well, he has. I have to admit, he's a better. I'll say it on radio. Now, hey, look, national radio. He's a very decent domino player. I mean, it has to be consistent. Now, I mean, you know, if you know, so he's pretty good. I mean, I got to give him credit. He's gotten a lot better than when we first sat down and shook those things. I you know, listen, I got to tell the truth. The truth don't lie. He's a lot better than he was. I'm not even gonna lie about that. And so there are things I used to do against Mr. Elias that he no longer falls for. So that's why I know he's a better domino player, and that tells me. You know, by throwing these elementary tricks at him and he's not falling for him tells me a lot. So he's a better domino player. There's no doubt about that. And he's so good, Vanessa. Watch this. He's going to participate in this domino tournament next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this time 2 years ago, he would never do it. Well, he shouldn't have. He may have done it because of his ego, but he should have, you know, 2 years ago, he'd get waxed with the floor. But, hey, I think he's got a pretty decent chance of making some noise in that tournament next weekend. So we'll see. What? We'll see. You know, listen, that's, you know, kudos to him. He's a pretty decent domino player. I got to give him credit for that. All right, we have wrapped and clapped enough. It is time for an NPR News update, and I tell you what, I got a smile on my face because I think everyone knows within the sound of my voice what the first topic is going to be this morning. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to The Serious Side, 347-850-1272. Keep it locked. Don't you go anywhere. See you in about 3 to 4 minutes.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A day after being indicted for war crimes by the International Criminal Court, Russian President Vladimir Putin traveled to Crimea before stopping in the Ukrainian city of Mariupol, which was destroyed by Russian forces last year. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports on Putin's first trip to the occupied Ukrainian region of Donetsk since the war began and his closest visit to the front lines.
Putin flew by helicopter from Crimea to Mariupol in what the Kremlin has called a working trip to oversee reconstruction efforts. Russian media showed Putin visiting a family in their home in a new residential neighborhood built by the Russian military. Russia's Interfax agency said Putin also examined the coastline of Mariupol in the area of the yacht club, the theater building, and other memorable places.
The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is not commenting on former President Donald Trump's social media post, saying that he expects to be arrested on Tuesday. But a lawyer for Trump and a spokesman say there has been no communication from prosecutors and that Trump's claim is based on media reports. North Korea test launched a short-range ballistic missile today, its third launch in just over a week. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Seoul on the launches amid large-scale joint military exercises by the U.S. and South Korea.
South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff says the missile was launched from the Tongchang-mi area close to the country's main satellite launch center. Other tests in recent days have included an intercontinental ballistic missile and long-range strategic cruise missiles. Meanwhile, a U.S. B-1B strategic bomber and South Korean F-35A stealth fighters flew over the peninsula as large-scale joint drills dubbed Freedom Shield enter their second week. And North Korean state media report that some 800,000 youth signed up last week to join the military, vowing to wipe out the nation's enemies and reunify the two Koreas. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
The Justice Department has begun extraditing human smugglers from Guatemala under one of the new programs launched by the Biden administration in 2021 to address the root causes of migration. Texas Public Radio's Pablo De La Rosa reports.
Four individuals charged with trafficking migrants into the U.S. were extradited from Guatemala, something that had not been possible before the launch of the new Joint Task Force Alpha program. JTFA coordinated the investigation between U.S. authorities and law enforcement in Guatemala. The defendants are also allegedly responsible for the death of a young indigenous woman who died in Texas. The program was announced jointly with the Central America Forward Initiative, the economic development plan for the region that Vice President Harris launched in Guatemala in June of 2021. I'm Pablo De La Rosa in McAllen.
And you're listening to NPR News.
The NAACP is committed to equality for all people, especially the equality of foundational Black Americans. Every other child gets a chance at economic equality. Every other child gets a chance at living the best life they possibly can. Doesn't he deserve a chance too? Learn more at NAACP.org.
Online radio at its best.
Former President Donald Trump has now posted on Truth Social this morning that he will be arrested Tuesday of next week. He called the Manhattan District Attorney's Office highly political and called for protests to, quote, take our nation back. I want to note we have not heard from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office yet on this. Again, this Truth Social post by Donald Trump was just done this morning.
Welcome in, 347-850-1272. It is 19 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry, no, it's not. It's 23 minutes after the hour. I'm looking at the date. And welcome back into the Serious Side. All right, so here's a question that I've asked throughout the course of the last 2 to 3 years. And the question is a very simple question. And the purpose of this is to get people on this show on record with some of their comments. So I'll go around the table once again, and I'll ask Mr. Elias the question. Do you think Donald Trump will be arrested, and do you think he will be charged, and do you think he's going to spend time in jail?
I think they will issue an arrest warrant for him. Will he be arrested? No. Will he spend time in jail? Hell no. And all he's doing right now is making himself prevalent to keep himself in the media. That's all Donald Trump does, man. Because, you know, I don't think they're going to issue an arrest warrant for him on Tuesday. You know? I don't. But the bottom line is, look, they're going to issue an arrest warrant because he did some despicable things, man.
But you contradicted yourself just now. You know that, right, sir? You said, yes, you did. You said, I don't think they're going to issue an arrest warrant. And you came right back and said, you do think they're going to issue an arrest warrant.
On Tuesday. I said on Tuesday.
Okay, say it again so that way there's no confusion. Say it again one more time.
I don't think they're going to issue an arrest warrant on Tuesday. But I think he's just saying that to keep himself prevalent in the news. But they are going to issue an arrest warrant. They are going to issue one.
So you don't think it's going to be on Tuesday?
No, I don't think it'll be on Tuesday.
But you do think one's coming?
One is coming, yes. One is going to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what with Michael Cohen and the rest of the things he did, he violated all kind of laws when it comes to campaign policy. So, yeah, I think they're going to issue an arrest warrant. Will they arrest him? Wouldn't consider arrest.
Well, the warrant. Once he turns himself in, he's been arrested.
Okay. Yeah, okay. They're going,
that's the part
going
that threw me off.
Second.
But they'll still arrest him. That's the part that threw me off, because you're like, they're not going to arrest him. Well, actually, they will. Issuing an arrest warrant and him turning himself in, he's arrested. So it sounds like you think that the warrant will be issued and then he won't be arrested, which will make him a fugitive, which I doubt very seriously. So do you think he's going to be arrested, yes or no?
Yeah, he'll be arrested, but, you know, will he turn himself in? He'll work something out with the lawyers where he won't have to go in because he's a former president.
He's going to have to go in. He's not going to have to. Well, he's not going to have to. Okay. Well, let me ask Vanessa, then we'll come back and address what you just said. Vanessa, same question to you, because I asked this question. You know, I've been asking this question for the past 3 to 4 years since this guy's been in office. Well, actually, since he's been out of office. Do you think he's going to be arrested, and do you think he will serve time in jail?
Okay, I'm going to come from the back end of it because I will keep repeating this. He's going to be locked up in a room with a computer and a telephone for 24 hours, and then they're going to release him. That man is for jail time. Now, let's go back to the beginning. They're not going to serve it on Tuesday, and he intentionally has it set up like that. That's why he's telling people to protest. So if I was the person getting ready to serve the warrant, I would not serve it on Tuesday because he didn't already told everybody to go march the streets and set it on fire or whatever. So, no, I wouldn't serve it on Tuesday. It might be Thursday or next Saturday, but then he's the ex-president of the United States. They're not going to go and pick him up and handcuff him. They're going to ask his attorney to walk him in there. He's not going to be – they're not fixing to dog him out. That's Donald Trump. They're not going to do that. You have the Donald Trump people like me and Les continually say – that will believe in everything that comes out of his mouth, and they will back him to the hilt. So if they start acting too ignorant with him, like going to his monologue or wherever it is and picking him up and handcuffing him and all of that, child, they will start burning down stuff.
Well, they're not going to do that. I don't think they're going to put it. It's called the perp walk. I don't think he's going to do that.
Let me rephrase it. They won't start burning down stuff. They'll just go to the Capitol and storm the Capitol again and have Pelosi's desk with poop and stuff on it. I mean,
Whoa. So do you honestly think that that's a different twist? So you're saying that if and when he's indicted and arrested, you think they're going to storm the Capitol again?
No, I'm just saying they're going to do something like that. They're going to clown
There's going to be riots in the street if they arrest this guy.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that, but I do doubt that they will storm the Capitol.
You're taking me exactly for my words.
I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. It's just clarity. That's all. I'm not trying to do anything to your words. I'm just trying to make sure that we're clear with what we're saying to the public.
Something around that. They're going to do something like that. He's calling them to do it. He's asking
them
to do
it. I agree with that.
They're going to do it.
I agree with that.
Because his followers will follow him to hell.
I agree with that, too. Here's what I don't agree with. I don't agree with the fact that he's not going to have to come in. He has to come in. Now,
I didn't say
how
that.
He gets... No, Ms. Delia said that. No, I know you didn't.
They're going to ask his attorney to bring him in. They're not going to go to Donald Trump and handcuff him and put him in a car. They're not going to do that.
Well, no, they would never do that. No, they would never do that.
He got to come
in. He has to come in. And what usually happens is that. What? Go ahead, Miss Ellie. I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you.
You're acting like this guy is normal. This is unprecedented. You got a president, an ex-president, going to go in and get and like he's a normal person. Look, they're not going to treat him like he's a normal person.
We didn't say that. We did not say
what
that.
What they're going to do, they're going to work something out where he don't even have to go in. Because if he goes in, what kind of media and what kind of riots they would cause with him going in? Come on, man.
Well, that's the reason why the New York Police Department, along with the FBI and Secret Service, coordinating in preparation of the possibility of civil unrest if and when this happens. So I think that the normal agencies – here's the sign that told everyone that he was the target. When they invited him to come in and speak before the grand jury, he declined last week. And most experts said that – that moves means that they are about to charge him, and they're giving him an opportunity to face his accusers or an opportunity to tell this group of people, you know, the reasons why they should or should not proceed with the indictment. And he declined to participate in that process. So everyone knew at that point, you know, here we go. It's showtime. It's go time. Now, once again, the one thing I will say that is probable in Mr. Elias's scenario is this. They may not, which I find it's hard to believe, they may not require him to come down, but they can't indict him from Florida. These are New York charges. Mm-hmm. Unless, and this is where it gets tricky, unless they send authorities to his Mar-a-Lago estate and handle everything there. That would be unprecedented. And I don't think that would happen. And that's why I think that New York City and the FBI and the Secret Service, because here's the other problem. What usually happens is if you're indicted, you get mugged, you get booked, you sit in the holding cell. You can't do that. Here's the thing that I'm laughing about as I say this out loud is I remember a few years back we talked about, you know, if he went to jail, where would the Secret Service be? Because by the Constitution, they are mandated to protect him at all times. So that's the reason why he's not going to remain in that facility. I do think he has to make contact with authorities, and they can't do it via phone. He has to be booked.
I think he's going to be in the facility for 24 hours, that they're going to put him in
you
a
think
holding.
What?
I think that they're going to put him in a holding with a computer and a telephone and a TV.
They're not going to do that.
For 24
no.
hours.
No.
If he is invited.
No. There's no way, and I agree with Mr. Eliezer, there's no way they're going to put a former president of the United States in a holding cell. Think about it from a logistical standpoint. What are you going to do with the Secret Service? Now, they may put him in a conference room while they go through all this, but he is not going to be in some type of cell or confinement space.
What was the guy who molested all the movie stars and stuff, and now he looks terrible when he's on TV?
Weinstein. Yeah,
Harvey Weinstein, yeah.
But didn't his holding cell have a TV and a computer and all of that
but
stuff?
But he is not the former president of the United States, even though he's a big wig. He's a big fish. I was watching a movie another day, and I saw his thing come up.
He's not going to go to jail. But let's say he was to go to jail. What were they going to do then? Get him a palace?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. And that's why a lot of people, now that I, you know, once again, as I speak, these thoughts are entering my head. How the heck are they going to put him in jail? And we laughed about this. You know, what they're going to do, put him in jail while the Secret Service, he is by the Constitution, and this is why this guy, the one thing I will say about Trump is that he's a blessing in disguise, right? And what I mean by that is, yeah, he is. Let me explain. He is a blessing in disguise to the framers of the Constitution. Because when you write a document, that document has to be so airtight, or when you put a process in place, it has to be so airtight that it has to be able to prepare for the absolute worst situation that can ever happen. And this is the worst situation that could ever happen, is a person like this to ascend to the presidency. He is testing the norms. I guarantee you, when they extended the, because remember, originally they had the Secret Service protection for a president up until 10 years. President Obama changed that because he realizes that, you know, a former president still carries weight and prestige. A former president still receives briefings, intelligent briefings. Now, it's not as detailed and as intense as the current president, but they do this as a pleasure. I mean, it's, what is it called? A pleasure of serving the current president. They do this to make sure that former presidents are abreast of what's going on, because they are a symbol of this country. And so President Obama changed it from 10 years to extend it for lifetime protection. No one knew or even envisioned that a former president could be sent to jail. Now, we have Gerald Ford to thank for this, because Gerald Ford, and this is what he said when he pardoned Nixon, and I'm paraphrasing it, he said basically, He didn't pardon Nixon to do this as a favor to Nixon. He pardoned Nixon on behalf of the American people, for the country, for the greater good of the country. Because he said that if a former president is thrown into jail, it will throw this country into chaos. It will be a shock to the system that the system has never experienced. And so now here we are, you know, 50 years later, however long it was, dealing with the same situation. Same situation. So the million-dollar question is, do you think he's going to be indicted and convicted when we have this, you know, this law in place that says that a former president has lifetime Secret Service protection? Question for you, Mr. Elias, what do you think?
Will he? Yeah, I think he should be. Yes, will he be?
Well, yeah, he should be.
Yeah, I think he will be. To be honest, because I think he will be convicted of it. But you know, will he do any jail time? No, not at all.
Well, it depends.
I think he will, because they got Michael Cohen, and hell, he was acting in Trump's defense.
He's not a president.
So that's what this is about.
Not a president. But here's my question to you, though. Here's my question for both of you guys.
On behalf of the president.
That's true. But out of the, so basically there are four major cases that are working their way through the legal system for Donald Trump right now. And experts are saying that this case, the hush money case, is the least. This is the one that's not as serious as the case in Georgia. It's not as serious as the case dealing with classified information. Not as serious as the what's the other case that he has going on? Man, he has so many. So he has the Secret Service. He has the secret documents. He has hush money. He has and January 6th, the January 6th situation as well, which Merrick Garland. You know, man, I'm starting to. You know, I don't know how I feel about that guy. I really don't, because at one point I said, you know what, he has to make sure, because we talked about this maybe last year, and I said he has to make sure that he crosses all the T's and dots all the I's, because Democrats were saying, why is it taking him so long to bring charges? The January 6th pretty much handed him a gift basket. They put everything in order for him. All he has to do is just change the heading from January 6th committee to the Department of Justice, and he should be able to convict this fool. But I'm starting to question this guy myself. Is it politics, Vanessa, that he's not pushing forward on this? Why is this taking so long? Why? You haven't heard a peep from Merrick Garland.
Somebody them threatened somebody behind the scenes.
Well, they do that anyway. They know, prosecutors know that's a part of what they do. It's a part of the job. It's par for the course.
Okay, then why else? They got all the evidence and stuff that they need. So.
I think it's political. It's political. It's political, Vanessa. It's political. They're concerned about what time, and I tell you this, you know, I tell you what, as I speak, these thoughts come to my mind. I guarantee you, and you tell, both of you guys tell me if you agree with this, I think that they're waiting to see the Department of Justice, they're waiting to see what happens with this case, what type of civil unrest will happen with this. And I think that that will determine whether or not they move forward with their case. I think they're waiting to see what the climate's going to be if he's indicted. What do you think? You think that makes sense, or do you think just Merrick Garland is just playing politics? Well, why do you think it's taking so long?
I think he's playing politics, to be honest.
You don't think he's waiting to see what happens from this? That they're waiting for someone to go first? It's like, okay, you go first. It's like their game of chicken. Who's going to go first? You don't think that has anything to do with it at all?
Nope. What I do truly believe is that he's playing politics, man.
That is playing politics.
Well, I don't think he's waiting to see what kind of climate it's going to cause. Because what does he gain by doing that?
Well, because you're taking
when you make a move, you gain something. He's not gaining anything by doing that.
Okay, well, if I'm Merrick Garland, this is what I'm thinking. That this is unprecedented. And, you know, just like Gerald Ford said back in the 70s, the reason why he pardoned President Nixon was because he did it for the good of the country. So, yeah, I'll let this one man have his freedom, but I'm worried about what type of state that this will put our country. I'm thinking about the greater good. So in that situation, you know, President Nixon was collateral damage, so to speak. So look, we're gonna sacrifice this guy, allowing him to do whatever, because I'm worried about the greater good. You know, one man versus millions. Okay, so maybe that's what Merrick Garland's thinking, is that, you know what, if we do this, what's gonna happen? And so maybe they weren't ready for another shoe to fall, Vanessa. But I guarantee you that what happens possibly next week will determine how fast charges will be brought against Trump for January 6th by the Department of Justice. It has to play a factor in this, in my opinion.
Why are the other DAs working it through then, and then they're not? You know.
Well, they are.
Your question.
This guy's sitting on it, and he's got stronger cases than these.
He's got
way stronger cases for January 6th than these.
I can't answer that question. I'm going to assume.
Politics.
Well, maybe, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. What I'm saying is, I think what the guy is doing is he's thinking about, you know, his thought process is the same, is and was the same as, you know, Gerald Ford. What type of, you know, to get this one man, are we willing to sink the ship for one person? So is the rule of law so important? Is the rule of law so important that we will risk the wealth and the health and the welfare of this nation just to get one man? Is he worth all the chaos that can come from this, you know, simple act of indicting him and maybe sticking his butt in jail? Because it's not about Trump, it's about the presidency. That's what they're thinking. How can you say that a former president of the United States, the reason this person has to have Secret Service protection for the rest of that person's natural born life is because the importance of what they play in American politics and in America, period. So they're saying that this person
We also say no one's above the law. So then you're contradicting yourself. You're
I agree.
As a DA, and you're the head man in charge there, and you're saying no one, and absolutely no one's above the law.
I agree.
Then you're contradicting yourself by saying, I don't want to go forward because this is happening and he's the president. No one's above the law.
I agree.
No one.
I agree. But you can say the same thing, and I'll say this and we'll wrap up. You know, everyone who's been listening to the show for an extended period of time knows that one of my jobs while I was in the military was being a nuclear biological chemical non-commissioned officer in charge, which means that for those who may not be familiar with that process, it simply means that when you are in a war and if you suspect that nuclear biological chemicals have been used in a certain area, you have to send an NBC team to go in and decon the area to make sure that the area is safe for, you know, troops and battalions and companies and armies and air forces and marines can go through. So you send a team of people in to begin the decon process. Right. So you go through and you decontaminate the area. Now, the only way to be 100% sure that the area is completely decontaminated is how? You have to test it. How do you test it? You get the lowest ranked person in that particular squad. You put them under guard, which means that you put a person on their left flank and on their right flank. You take their weapon and then you give them the order to take off their mask. And they have to take off their mask for 30 seconds.
What?
Yes. Yes. You take the mask off. They breathe the air. They put the mask back on. You monitor them for the next 2 minutes. If everything is well, you order them to take their mask off again and breathe this time for a minute. Put the mask back on. You monitor them again for a certain period of time. Then you do it one more time for a couple of minutes. If they are still alive after that, you give the signal for all clear, and everyone demask, and then that area is safe to travel through. Now, one could say every life matters, but in that case, you take the weapon from the lowest-ranking person because in the bigger scheme of things, that person can be collateral damage. Is that right? To sacrifice one to ensure the lives of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to live?
I understand.
It would have been you if it had been a lower-ranked person.
Hey, you talking about give me your gun. I'm like, pow, there it is.
Yeah, well, no. That's why people like you. That's why people like you.
Hey, if I'm going to die, I'm going to take some people with me. Mm-mm. You talking about killing me? You're crazy.
See.
No, seriously, though, Jay, is that how some people come back with cancer and all kinds of stuff?
Well, it depends on what they were exposed to. But I'm just saying in a straight up, you know, most modern warfare is different nowadays. You know, back when I was in the military, everything was based on jungle warfare. But, you know, now it's urban. You know, you fight in cities. And so it's a little bit different, to be honest with you, because when you fight in a city or when you fight in an urban area or urban setting, you know, you can't control the variables. What I mean by that is you have houses and buildings and there are people there are enemy combatants amongst civilians. So you don't know who, what, how, and when. It's different when you're fighting a war in, you know, in the jungle or in the desert or whatever the case may be. That's more of an open environment, an open scenario. So it's easier to plan versus, and I think that's what's happening with Ukraine and Russia. Russia didn't anticipate this, and when you start fighting in cities, you just don't know who to prepare for. So it's easier to fight an open battle warfare on the battlefield versus, you know, fighting something like that in, you know, close hand-to-hand combat type situations. All right, we have gone on long enough. Interesting topic. We'll see what happens with Donald Trump. All right. You know, no one ever imagined that the Supreme Court would overturn Roe v. Wade, but they did. And so now this has given cover to a lot of Republican-led states to try to ban abortion altogether. Well, we all know what's happening here in Texas. And so there are a few. Now, all eyes are on Texas right now because there's a Trump-appointed judge. And we're waiting for that judge's decision on whether or not to ban an abortion pill, a pill that women have been taking for decades. We don't know where this person's leaning, but because this person was appointed by Trump, you know, people are on their pins and needles to, you know, on eggshells wondering where is this going to head up. But there are a few DAs in Texas who are refusing, right? Who are refusing to charge clinics who are still providing abortions. In this week's edition of Informative Celeste, we'll learn about those brave DAs, and kudos for people who are laying it on the line for the greater good for this country. It's Covina time in 4 minutes or less, something that you need to know. We'll be right back on the other side. Don't you go anywhere.
Some Texas lawmakers are trying to make district attorneys prosecute anti-abortion law violations as crimes. Brett Jaspers with KERA reports.
Officials at all levels of government have long acknowledged prosecutors are constantly making judgment calls. Discretion is part of the job, as it is for police officers, judges, and other law enforcement. Then the U.S. Supreme Court eliminated federal abortion rights. Dozens of elected county prosecutors swiftly declared they'd use their discretion to not pursue abortion crimes.
I will never prosecute a doctor, a nurse, or a woman for exercising their right to choose.
That's Ryan Mears from Indianapolis. Here's Sherry Boston from DeKalb County, Georgia.
I am stating unequivocally that I'm going to use that same discretion not to prosecute these types of criminal offenses.
And in Texas, Jose Garza in Austin.
I don't want women who live in our community suffering or dying at home because they're too scared to go to the doctor.
But the stance of prosecutors in large Texas cities soon raised the ire of conservative state lawmakers. State Representative David Cook is a Republican from the Fort Worth area.
As a district attorney, you have a job which entails looking at all the cases that are brought in and judging each case on a case-by-case basis. And so if you're making blanket statements and giving blanket immunity, then you're not doing your job.
Now Cook has proposed a bill to ban district attorneys from having a policy, written or not, that limits the enforcement of any particular offense. The bill would set financial penalties and create a process for removing the prosecutor from office. It's one of many bills aimed at curbing local DAs. Several big city prosecutors in Texas are reluctant to talk about the legislation and declined interviews, but DA Mark Gonzalez of Nueces County in South Texas is talking. He said the announcement to not pursue abortion cases may have been too hasty.
The statement may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. It'd be smarter for us to move in silence, and I think that may have been something we didn't accomplish.
Gonzalez is facing an unrelated effort to remove him from office and has said he won't run for re-election. He sees the proposed legislation as part of a backlash against a more progressive approach to the criminal justice system.
No one was thinking of these things 10 years ago before a few guys got elected who maybe thought there were some issues that were wrong with the criminal justice system. There are.
Similar power struggles are playing out nationally. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis removed an elected Democratic prosecutor from office last year, claiming he didn't pursue certain crimes. Illinois' governor, a Democrat, recently said county sheriffs won't be in their job if they don't enforce a new requirement that owners of semi-automatic rifles register them.
There is just an interesting philosophical debate about where power should rest.
Ann Bowman is a professor at Texas A&M. She said a state can make it more difficult for a county with what it mandates.
There are all kinds of preemptions there that weren't there before. It's really a matter of basically the state wanting to control what's going on at the local level.
Yet not every local official gets blowback for bucking the state. Early in the COVID-19 pandemic, a group of Texas sheriffs refused to enforce the governor's mask mandate. Yet there was no proposal to make them follow that law. Experts say that's because sheriffs align more with the conservative leadership of the state. State Representative David Cook, however, said he's open to reining them in. Here he is again.
I have not filed a bill in that regard, but I certainly would not rule it out.
For the moment, though, bills targeting county district attorneys are what's on offer. The Statewide Association for DAs has told its members to take the proposals very seriously. For NPR News, I'm Brett Jaspers in Dallas.
Online radio at its best.
Seven sheriff's deputies in Virginia are facing a second-degree murder charge and charges for the death of a black man.
Prosecutors say Ervo Otieno was smothered while in custody. The attorneys for Otieno's family say he was experiencing a mental health crisis on March 3rd, and a neighbor interpreted that as problematic, and that person called police. Police officers put Otieno in emergency custody. Officers took Otieno from hospital to jail after they say he became, quote, physically assaultive. Days later, as Otieno was being transferred to a state-run mental facility, he became combative. That's according to police. Deputies physically restrained him, and he died.
He was held down on the ground, prone on the ground for 12 minutes by all seven of our defendants charged here, including this one. So much so that they smothered him, and they smothered him to death.
Today, his family watched surveillance videos showing how he died.
I do not wish this on anyone else. I do not wish this on anyone's child or any parent or anyone else. We can do better.
We can do better.
For now, I'm asking for justice.
Justice.
Justice for my son.
Seven deputies were initially arrested, and today three Central State hospital employees were arrested. They are all charged with second-degree murder. While the autopsy has yet to be made public, the Dinwiddie Commonwealth's attorney charged the deputies with second-degree murder based on the available evidence.
Welcome back in, 347-850-1272. It is 55 minutes after the hour, or 5 minutes before the top of the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. And if you feel that you've heard this story before, you probably have. And I think the biggest example of something of this magnitude happening to another African-American man is what happened to George Floyd, you know. According to family members, if you look at the video, he was suffocated, which means that he was laid down in a prone position on his stomach and people were on top of him, which constricted his ability to breathe. Now, you know, I keep saying that we have to talk about these stories because at the end of the day, you know, when we start acting as if these stories don't exist or if we start becoming numb to this, that's when bad things continue to happen. Now, one can say, well, Jay, things are continuing to happen. Bad things are continuing to happen because you're always talking about these stories. That's true. But we're going to continue to talk about them because we need to shed a light on things like this happening to folks who look like us. And I'm going to assume that most of the people that listen to our show, even though I do know that there are some people of the other color that participate or listens to this show, and we appreciate you. You know, we talked about this a little last week, how a lot of white folks died during the civil rights movement. So, listen, there are brothers and sisters who are not the same color or nationality or same race as we are, but we understand that most of the folks who listen to this show more than likely look like all of us. And all of us, what I mean by that, as far as panelists on this show, we all are, you know, brothers and sisters. Now, that being said, here's the thing, Vanessa, that makes this situation even more alarming, especially what happened to the young man who was killed by those brothers who beat his tail and killed him to death. Most of the people that were arrested in this situation, they were African American. If you go back and look at the folks who were indicted, I think there were probably maybe one white dude or maybe two. The rest of them were people that look like us. So is this a scenario where we feel, because as I go back and think about it, and Mr. Elias, remind me of that brother's name, man, who got killed by those cops. It's a shame that I don't know this. My memory is just so bad.
Yeah.
Dante, what was his name?
Dante.
Real Delia, and she'll send me a message. Hey, this is the name. You know, it's kind of remind me of the guy's name. But anyway, that's a shame. And the fact that we can't recall his name tells you that they've killed so many of us. It's like, oh my God, it's just another number. And shame on us for not knowing the number, because this just happened not too long ago. Knowing the name, I should say. But Vanessa, it kind of reminds, when I watched the video of how those brothers beat that dude's tail.
Was it Tyree
right.
Nichols?
Tyree Nichols, that's his name. Stop, you cheated, but thank you.
Yes,
it's Bobby Jones. See, Bobby, we need Bobby working in the back. I know Bobby the one told you, because Bobby Jones be on top of
it.
No,
I'm Googled
Bobby
it.
Jones,
Bobby
Jones.
I Googled it.
Okay. That's his name, Tyree Nichols. Yeah. But when you go back and listen to that video, you know, it's like, Yeah. You know, you talk. Yeah, what brother? What? It's almost like we have a license. It's almost that scenario of, hey, my dog can mess in my yard, but yours can't. you know, yeah, we can beat the hell out of one of our own, but y'all can't. And it just seems to me that they manhandled this person because they felt, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm looking at this the wrong way, Vanessa, in your eyes, but it just seems to me that we think because if someone looks like us, we have the liberty to say, okay, yeah, we can beat your tail, we can fight you, because we know that if we're doing it, it's not coming from a place of malice. We're not kicking your tail because you look like us. We're kicking your tail because you downright did something wrong, and we're going to give you strong, we're going to give you the power because we can. Do you think that's the reason why we're seeing a lot of these, you know, to use Jerome's term, black-on-black crime? Think about the brother who was in Baltimore, and they threw him in the back of that paddy wagon, and he died. Those officers, Freddie Gray, those officers were indicted. All of those officers were black, except for, I think, one guy. So why do you think, Vanessa, we're talking about BLM and we're out there, you know, yelling at the top of our lungs, you know, police brutality. But in some cases, the police are people that look like us. And I said police on purpose. What say you?
I know you're going to get some emails, but I don't care. To me, you can get away with that. It's kind of like I cringe when I hear another black person say the N-word. I cringe on the inside. Because if I say it because I'm black, you're not upset. But if a white person says it, you want to fight them. I think it should just be a word that's just gone. So I think that the black-on-black with the police officers starting to kill black people, they feel like they can do it, just like people feel like they can say the N-word because they're black. It's all wrong. I don't think it's right to use the N-word and you black. I don't think the black people should be putting their hands on other black people. But you know what white people say? Let them end people, kill each other. We don't care. I'm telling you, white people don't care if the black police kill the black person or black people are killing black people. To them, it's just one less black person to contend with.
And you mean bad white people? We can't put them all in the same category. I'm pretty sure your friend that you hang out with,
you're absolutely
she wouldn't feel that way, right? Okay.
No, I don't think they would. So you're right when, let me correct and apologize by saying some white people would be like, let them kill each other. That's just one less to contend with. So I think it's a sad situation, and I think that the black people who put that on the black people should be in the penitentiary right along with the rest of them. And I don't think
they
always said. Now, when I get on Facebook and I say something like that, I have had to stop because a lot of my flight friends, spouses, or firemen and police officers and stuff, and they get so upset with me when I say stuff like that. Like, Vanessa, you shouldn't feel that way, and I didn't know you had that kind of attitude about that. Well, you know what? I do, and I don't think that y'all really care about us as much as I just don't.
Well, let me ask you this: Is it the scenario that I mentioned before? It's like, when you say the word, the N word, for example, and I tell you, man, every time this conversation kicks off, and my mother is not a proponent of using that word, don't get me wrong, but I remember this had to be dang near 40-something years ago when she explained to me why African-Americans use that word as a term of endearment. I wish I would have recorded her because it's the best explanation I've ever heard anyone say the reason why. And she wasn't in a way, she was justifying it. Now, she would never use it, but she was explaining the reason why, and I've never heard an explanation better.
But back in the day and now, there's two different unfortunate periods in our life. It really
yeah,
is.
But you Yeah, but you say using the N-word. I mean, a lot of brothers use the N-word as, you know, talking to other brothers. And
but if a white person said that, would you be upset?
Well, because it goes back to what I said.
If a white person is playing dominoes with you and Les, and they say it, would you be upset?
Well, let me explain. Let me answer the question. I think it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the set was, is it coming from a place of a term of endearment, or is it coming from a place of malice? Because it can have two different definitions depending on who you ask.
Okay.
You know, I remember.
That's like females calling each other the B word. If a man calls you the B word, you know,
like
but some females call each other B's and they get away with it because that's how they communicate with each other.
That's a term. That's a good. You just stole my thunder, man. But you're absolutely correct.
That's a very good way of putting it. And some of them call each other the W. They call each other the O word or whatever. But you know what? I don't like any of it. But that's just me. That's just me. I don't like any of it, and I don't think that being black justifies beating on a black person and killing a black person in the jail cell.
Well, nobody's saying it justifies it. We're trying to figure out the mentality of why we feel that it's okay for us to use excessive force against our own, but then when a white person does it, all of a sudden we're outside with flags. Huh?
What
did you say? Well, no, what I'm saying is that it just seems to me we feel that it's almost like when you watch, it's like, you know, I don't know if this is apples and oranges, but it's like when white people watch black folks discipline their kids. Oh my God, I can't believe you. Oh, you hit them with a strap. Hey, that's how we roll. We're not gonna put them in the corner and tell them put their nose in the corner. We're gonna bring down the thunder, because that's the way, that was our mentality. So people look at that. So black folks like, yeah, I'm gonna whoop my kid's tail, but I better not get a call from school saying a white teacher spanked my kid, even though, you know, that's back in the day when we grew up. You know, I mean, come on, that was a part of life. You went to school, you did something, they tapped that tail. They don't do that anymore, and for good reason. Because I think that a lot of the teachers that are in school now, I mean, the standards are so low, and I'm not, you know, trying to say anything bad about teachers. I just think that a teacher, a fireman, a police officer, when you were growing up, those people were held of high esteem in the community. Your teacher said something. Your parent, your teacher was like an extra parent. That's not how it is nowadays. So I can understand why. But back then, you know, you can beat your kid's tail, but nobody else better not beat your kid's tail. So it's just like we own each other. If this is somebody that's a part of my race. So if I'm whooping their tail, if I'm beating that tail, I'm not beating that tail because they're black. I'm beating that tail because of the severity of what they did, which is, you know, is ridiculous. But I'm just saying, is that the mentality that a lot of these people are having? Because once again, you're seeing a lot of people who look like us doing damage to people like us. And I don't think it's their intent to kill them.
Jay, don't you think, this is going to be off just a little, but this is your expertise with music and stuff, you and Les. Don't you cringe when you hear the songs and they be using the B word and calling them hoes and all of that? Don't you?
I do.
Do you know? When you hear that,
I do.
The kids got to be bopping, and that's why they think it's okay for a guy to call them all of this, because I know I'm coming to age, and I don't care. I'm 60. I didn't been out there. I didn't be it. But you know, I agree with you,
Vanessa, because I have girls. And I'll tell a quick story. We have to get out of here. I tell a quick story how I was in my daughter's room one day, and next to her, my oldest daughter, and next to her computer, there were some lyrics that she wrote down. And I read that mess. I'm like, what the hell is this? So I immediately, she was in high school. I said, what is this? Because, you know, once again, I tell people all the time, you know, there are three different people when it comes to your kids. It's the one that you know, and then it's the one that their friends know, and then if they're in a relationship, it's the one that that person knows. So you have to be careful when you start wading into those other areas. So I looked at this stuff. And I was livid because she was writing some rap lyrics and all they were talking, yeah, when these H's get on my thing. Well, W's, that reminds me of a scene in Rush Hour 3, but I digress. But it's like when these W's. Yeah. But it was like, yeah, when these motherfuckers. I'm like, what are you? I said, you're using derogatory terms towards you when a man called you a B-I-T-C-H. You know what that means? But you're right in it. You singing it and doing it. So, yeah, I agree with you, Vanessa. I think that we have to be careful with that. But I don't know, any final comments, Mr. Elias, before we step out on this one?
I have a comment.
Yeah, I was going to say, let Jerome comment.
Good morning. How are you?
What's happening, man? Well, listen, we're going to extend this
up,
for
man?
About 5 minutes because I definitely want to hear what Soul Brother Number One has to say. Let me give you the proper introduction. Mr. Jerome Esprit is in the house, the smartest man in the world. We love that he's here. I'm glad that he jumped in on this. We're going to extend it 5 minutes because I have the privilege and the authority to do that. The floor is yours, Jerome. What say you?
Yeah, it's good. You're going to wish you hadn't done that. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
Well, I already know. I mean, you know, you trust me. You're not going to catch me by surprise, but go ahead.
Okay.
I already know.
The thing is, I feel like I tuned into Fox News for a second because both of
you
are pretty hard on black people, which I think is kind of weird.
Oh,
right?
What do you mean?
Because we act as if there are not idiosyncrasies in our community, right?
Okay.
So, what happens is that how we handle stuff culturally does not translate to white people. So to say if a white person says this, you shouldn't get mad if you don't get mad if a black person says this, it's crazy because we do things different. We are not white people, for one.
How long
right?
have you been listening to this segment? Because that's not what I said, but go ahead.
Yeah, essentially you guys both,
where's
LES when I need him? Elias, what did you hear? Where's Elias?
I heard that, you know, would we be mad if a white person said the N-word? And,
right.
I would be upset.
But I said, that's not what, hold on, let me say this, and I'm going to give it back to you. I said that I wish I could record something that my mother said that justifies the reason why African-Americans use that word when we're talking to each other. So, no, I'm not sure what you heard there, but, no, I think I'm going to agree with what you just said, but go ahead. Yes.
So what I heard was that either that nobody should say it, for one, and two, it's wrong for us to get, you know, like I think the part where it stuck out is when we were saying that about cops, right? We were saying that we don't get mad when black police do something and mad when white folks do it.
No, that's not what I said.
That's not the N-word.
Right. It wasn't the N-word for the police. It was just saying that how come the community doesn't get outraged when a black policeman kills somebody opposed to white policemen.
What I said was that I'm trying to find out the mentality behind black officers. Why is it in the Freddie Gray case, you know, you had those are brothers and sisters that were indicted, you know, in this case that we're talking about with this young man who was in a mental institution, the people that were indicted, most of them were African-American. I'm thinking, what is the mentality? Do we feel because they look like us, we have the authority to tap that tail? Because when we tap that tail, we're not kicking their tail because they're black. We're kicking their tail because of what they did. That's what I was trying to figure out. Why do we feel it's okay for us to beat the hell out of people to look like us? That's where I was coming from. That was my
right. But,
that was what I was trying to find out.
Yeah, but the part I heard was, how come we're not in an outrage when a black policeman does something and the white policeman doesn't? Kind of.
I didn't hear that.
I don't remember saying that, but okay. I mean, that's all right. I mean, that's what we heard.
We didn't didn't say that. Is that what you thought? You wanted to hear Detroit because we didn't say that, sweetie.
No, I didn't want to hear, I didn't want to hear anything. I think going into this. No, seriously. I think that when it comes to the dynamics of black people and how we translate to white folks, it's a part of what white supremacy is, right? Like that we don't have this equal thing across the board that black people look at the world like white folks do, right?
Okay.
And so when a black parent, my mom was a teacher, is retired from teaching, right? But when I would go into her classroom, she did treat black students a little bit differently because she knew, like, the parents gave her a little bit more leeway, right?
Right.
And so when she said, sit your butt down, she may have talked to him a little harsher, but she said, she said, I kind of set a tone for the whole class because the kid who she knew was not, he knew he wasn't going to hurt her, and she had permission from her parents. Black people do that culturally, so we react to black people very different than we do to everybody else.
Right.
So when we use, like, the N-word, for example, I'm a basketball player, so when we're in the park and people are saying the N-word, you see two black people use the N-word, try to get up between them, and they're friends, and they're just talking and say, yo, brother, I don't think you should use the N-word. You want to fight both of them at that point because that's not hostile to them. But when white folks say that to black people, they're not saying it trying to be your friend, right? I don't care how they use it. You want to get punched in the face, say the N-word amongst somebody black, especially past a certain generation. Nobody gets a pass on that when you say that we should be okay with it. If we're okay with black people saying it, we should be okay with white folks saying it. Because white folks really don't treat us that way. We don't go into white folks' culture and go, do you go home and say to your parents, I saw my white friend yell at his mama so I can yell at mine. I don't care if that plays off culturally or not. We don't do that.
I don't think anybody should say it. So I don't care who – Vanessa cringes, but Vanessa's old school, and I didn't necessarily grow up without my mama popping one of us in the mouth for saying it. So, and I'm 60, and my mom still did not like us calling each other out those names. So maybe it's because I grew up where my mother was like, why do you have to say that name? Why do you have to say that? You know, so we used to get in trouble for saying it because my mom didn't want us growing up saying it. So I got a problem.
Did your mother go around popping other black people who she heard say it to?
No, that wasn't her child to pop them.
Exactly.
And nobody on the show said that we needed to pop somebody in the mouth for saying it. I just said I cringe. And I don't like to hear it in songs. I don't like to hear it in music. I don't like when they say the B word. I don't like any of it. You know why? Because these young black girls think it is okay when the brothers out there call them those words.
Yeah, I did say that. If you heard that part, I did say that because I have girls, and I just think, come on, you really?
My child's not going to say it. My child's not going to say that. So I don't have to worry about that.
All right, let's let him finish. Come on, Jerome. Let him wrap up because we are late. We got to go. Let him wrap up. We got to go.
I'll let you wrap up on that. We can go.
Yeah, we can go.
All right, well, that's good. All right, we can go. Executive producer Vanessa.
I just want to be clear that both of you guys are kind of wrong.
We can't go there. We cannot go, sir. We can't. No, I'm just joking with you. All right, we'll stop.
I know we late.
We'll talk about it when we do our little introduction. We got a little time there. All right, we'll stop. I'll take a break. We'll be right back. After this, I like how Jerome did
online
that.
Online radio at its best.
Guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find a love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you that I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me, but I'm in a daze from your love.
what I would not do. My friends wonder what is wrong with me, but I'm in a daze from your love, you see. I came back to let you know, got a thing for you, and I can't let go. Love. You've tried everything, but you won't give up. In my world, only you made me do for love what I would not do. Made me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do.
Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. If you haven't heard this news, this is something that's kind of crossed over into the sports arena. Michael Irvin was accused of saying sexually explicit things to a female who worked at the Marriott. Now, he was pulled off the air from both ESPN and Fox, and the NFL Network, I should say, for their Super Bowl coverage, and he was suspended because of these accusations. Well, Michael Irvin didn't accept these things lying down. He actually sued the Marriott Hotel, saying that what he did and said to that young female did not warrant the network to suspend him, neither networks, ESPN or NFL Network. It looks like a video has come out showing the interactions between the two of them. And Michael Irvin has now sued Marriott again for over $100 million, saying that this is a public hanging of a brother. And, you know, it's something I wanted to talk about this morning, because when you look at Jerome, that whole situation, when you watch the video of him and his interactions with this young lady, it's a 45-second encounter, right? And it looks as if nothing happened. Now, we can't hear the audio, but there were two people that were with Michael Irvin at the time, and they said, look, we looked at it from a distance, and we saw we didn't see anything. So right. Here's another case of a woman accusing someone. I don't know what was said, right? But just think about, you have to be, now you're coming from an event. There's people around. He runs into people all the time. And unless he was drunk and acting belligerent, there was no indication. How would it escalate to him saying something inappropriate to a female in 45 seconds? Not saying that it can't happen, but when you look at the video. So now what Marriott is saying, when you go back and look at the video, there is a part of the video where it looks like she steps back, but that was like within 15 seconds of their encounter. So I don't know you know, and so at that time they're saying, well, that illustrates that he said something appropriate, and she stepped back. She stepped back. This reminds me of Bill Cosby all over again, and it's like
it reminds us how easy it is for men to get charged with something just because a woman said that they did it. Everybody's so sensitive to anything being appropriate that they err on the side of women. At the detriment of men, right? And the problem with that is that you don't even need proof anymore. So if he gets suspended and loses wages and gets his name tarnished, what kind of recourse does anybody have for that? So he has to sue folks so that they stop doing that. They're not going to do it because they normally do it to black folks. And what happens is that when gives people fuel when it's somebody black too, like, well, you could have did it, right? Like, we always think negative of black people. Michael Auburn is smart. He don't give a rat, but he's smart. And so it's not like whether it's him or, well, I'm not going to throw any other names, but I was going to say that other people have been in similar situations. And I remember Derek Coleman's situation when he was playing for the Nets. And some
really?
Woman said that he inappropriately touched her on the elevator. And I remember Derek in college. And I remember he and I, we were literally sitting at a bar. And I don't drink, but he and I was talking. He was not drinking. And he said to me that these women act like they that we don't know what they're doing. And so as drunk women came up to him, he was like, get away from me. Like, he was pretty mean to them flirting with him while they were drunk. Because what will happen is that they'll say, oh, that dude did this. So the woman who did that to him in the elevator, he sued her. He sued her for like a few million dollars. He won.
Oh, wow.
She don't have no money to pay him. But he said any woman that comes after him, he is going at them. And he was not playing. So,
wow.
You know, I think you have to sue people when they do this now because it's too easy for guys to get accused of something, and then we have to be on the defensive for every word that we say. Like, you know, it's weird because you can't even tell a woman that you're interested in them without them saying, I feel like you're creepy for actually asking me to go on a date. Like, it's getting really extreme. So, yeah, I didn't see Michael Irving's thing, but I can't imagine just from looking at something with no audio people implying that he said something to her. That's the default
Well, that's the part, though. When you look at it, she walked up to him or whatever, and he said whatever, and it lasted 45 seconds. And listen, Vanessa, I know Vanessa's sitting in Texas, so let me go to Vanessa because I can't even read what she's doing. I'm trying to pull comments. She's sitting in Texas. All right, so Vanessa, why don't you just tell everyone what you're sending us? So that way, everyone can participate in the conversation. Yes.
I sent it to the wrong too because I kept trying to ask the question and I was muted. I just wanted to know if she was
you
black or
muted.
White.
She was white.
I kept on saying, was she white and nobody else but me?
Well, that was because that was you. Nobody, that was you. We didn't mute you. But, okay, she was white.
Okay.
She was white.
So, you know what I said about this?
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Wait for me. White women, and then this stuff won't happen. This OJ. Learn from OJ. Lead up white women.
Sister said that to me. Sister said that to me earlier this week. Come on, white women are devils. Let me go to Mr. Elias. Here's the problem, though. The problem is, you know, and listen, I think a lot of this is based on Michael Irvin's history because everybody knows Michael Irvin used to get it in back in the day. But when you watch him now, you know, it's just like with anything else. There are things that we did when we were young. But as you mature, you grow. You know, boys to men, you grow. You get out of those simple things. And, you know, I think what happens, he's a very personable person, very approachable. So now what happens is he's going to have his guards up, just like the story that Jerome just told about Derek Coleman. You know, I'm pretty sure Derek Coleman, before, you know, he became famous and had some close brushes with the law because of this type of nonsense, and I'm not going to say nonsense. If it's legitimate, it's legitimate, but in most cases it probably is not. But, you know, he's mean. Yeah. He's nasty. He's this. You know, I just look what happened to Mike Tyson. You know, there was a lot of evidence that was never presented in that Mike Tyson case where her roommate said, yeah, I'm gonna get him. But that never made it to the court, you know. And so she got pissed off because Mike Tyson tapped that tail and put her out. Oh, okay, I'm going to fix him. And bam, here we go. So, you know, in this situation, when we look at these types of scenarios, it's going to be bad for the public moving forward because now he's going to be guarded. You can't trust. That was a 45-second encounter. And all I'm saying is, if you, unless you're just a nasty joker and that's on your mind all the time, don't you have to work up to you just go say, hey, baby, you know, hey, how you doing, Mr. Irvin? Hey, I want to grab your tatas. Don't you already got to kind of be? It just seems to me that there was not enough time, and I'm not saying that he did not say it. So please, and you know, during this next break, I'm going to go pull comments down. I can't wait to hear some of this stuff. But I'm not saying that it could not have happened, Mr. Elias. What I'm saying is that unless he was already fired up and ready to go, why would he even – I mean, come on. I don't get it, man. But you know, what say you?
Can I say this really quickly?
Sure.
I know you're doing both sides of that and saying that you don't know what he could have said, but we don't know if she said something. He ain't responsible.
That's true.
For making sure she feels okay about what she said to him. Like,
right.
That was my point to begin with. It's like, this is always one-sided for guys, and it's a no-win that we have to always be like, well, you know, I'm not saying he wasn't wrong. I'm saying, who said that she was right? Like, that ain't our call. We didn't see anything, so we don't have to play both sides of the fence. We know as
That's
black
true.
Men, culturally, that we have all probably been in situations where we had to defend something that some, you know, Karen did to us. We've all been in those situations. So you can't just
by default
be like, well, he could have offended her. She's going to be offended if he says, no, I'm going to go left, and she says go right, because I told you to do that. Like, people are oppressive, and when it comes to white supremacy, generally, that white folks want to tell you what to do, and I have seen many a times that when people will step up and try to dictate something to black folks when they have no power, the janitor will do that to you. So now for us to question Michael Irvin just because he's a former football player and high profile, like he could have been in the wrong, is wrong. I'm sorry, Elias.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. No, go ahead, Mr. Elias.
Well, you know, all I can say is Emmett Till. That woman came out, 85 years later? And said that Emmett Till didn't even whistle at her? Come
right.
on, man. Look, this 45-second interaction, I've watched the thing, too. And they shook hands, whatever, after the interaction. And it didn't appear to me that he said anything inappropriate to her. Because I watched someone on TMZ and said, she, by her body language, looked like she said something because she put her hands behind her back. I'm like, okay, that means he said something inappropriate because she put her hands behind her back. I just don't get it, man. And I hope the brother wins this one. I hope they take it to the next level and he wins his $100 million because, hey, man, he's not working, you know. And we don't know really what's going on with this brother. So bottom line, he's not working.
They said because he put his hands behind his back that he was threatening?
No. No, she put her hands, while I was talking, she put her hands behind her back, and they said, well, that looks like you did say something inappropriate because she put her hands behind her back. I'm like, you assess that from that?
Yeah. You know how stupid that sounds? Because it's the opposite in body language, if you know how to read body language. Putting your hands behind your back is exposing your front. When you feel threatened, you usually turn to the side, or you cover up your front like somebody's going to attack you. So usually people bring their hands closer to their chest opposed to behind their back. So just generally on the surface, that sounds stupid to me. Right? When you're threatened, you do not expose your face. You don't expose your – you don't do that. That's not even natural. So,
especially
like
talking about
he's
doing
black. Yeah, he's black, so they'll use anything against him.
Especially if you doing something, you put your hands behind your back. Usually, if I'm threatened, I get into a defensive stance.
Can I ask three black men a question? question real quick, Jay. Just give me a quick answer real quick. Why do y'all, no, let me regroup. I apologize. Let me regroup. Why do you, don't be crying at me, Jay. Why do black men still go and talk and say stuff to white women, and y'all know they setting y'all up?
And Michael Irving's defense
from O.J. Simpson.
And Michael Irving's defense, this woman worked in a hotel, and she walked up to him. He's having a conversation with her. And now, if a white woman walks up to me and says something, should I just walk off from and be rude? Well, that's what this was about.
And just don't say nothing. That I mean, you know. Was anybody else in the elevator
with them? No, they weren't even in the elevator. But
they were in
the
elevator, yeah. They were,
the
yeah, they were standing. They were still in the elevator, man. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is gonna sound weird, but can I defend white women here for a minute?
yes, please.
That
yeah,
was
please.
Really funny.
You are defending the white women?
Let me defend white women.
Oh, God.
All right.
Come
Vanessa,
on, Jerome. We got 3 minutes, man.
Go ahead.
No, let me go because we have 3 minutes. We are way behind. Go ahead because
okay.
I want to get this last thought again. Go ahead.
All I'm saying, okay, so I'm saying, she's saying why would you deal with them or why would you kind of talk to them? I want to say white women approach people very differently, right? And so you don't know if you should be defensive or you could, you know, be kind. Like, the issue is that guys who are chivalrous will be nice to women across the board, and I don't think they really
right.
look at race like that, even though
thank you.
You don't expect that or see it coming until the woman reveals her disposition. We don't really do it. So I don't care if it's a little
yeah.
kid. We don't do little white babies crazy when we see them. Like, we don't look at race
yeah.
like that. Women are women
yeah.
to guys. And it's
yep.
really difficult.
Yeah.
Yes. Women are women. That's all I'm going to say. I'll yeah. say my final comments, do my final thoughts. I ain't talking to you, Vanessa. We got to go. Yeah. We got to go. All right. We'll be right back. Yeah, I am going to get in trouble. We'll be right back after this.
Online radio at its best.
Memories of love.
Harvey.
Online radio at its best.
347-850-1272 is our caller number. It is the Serious Side of the J-Rod Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. And of course, it is time for us to say cello to our family and friends on the show. Let's say good morning to my sweetie sweets, Miss Vanessa Maybelly from the McAnally. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
You know I love y'all, and when I'm not on the show, I just miss fun with y'all, especially you, Jerome.
Did you say you missed Jerome? It broke up at that part. Did you say you miss him, or did you say except for you, Jerome? I just want to make sure we get some clarity on that.
I miss fighting with Jerome the most.
Oh,
I do.
God. Oh,
wow. I don't know how I should feel about that one, but okay. Thank you very much.
No, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, it's fighting with Jerome, the most fighting. Why can't it just be a conversation? No. That's okay. The smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Esprit, is in the house as well. My brother from another mother. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm good until I realize I have to get up for a fight every Sunday. No, I'm good.
Well, you know, you got one compadre on your side, and we all know who that is. Let's say good morning to him, why don't you? Mr. Elias is in the place to be. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you, and good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Momo B. Good morning, Victor. Good morning, Miguel Jr. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Mary the Music. And Mary the Music, that first song. Well, was by Mr. Bobby Caldwell, and wow, rest in peace, Bobby Caldwell, man. That one got me right there. What you and the name of the song is called "What You Want to Do for Love," and the last one was by Gino Vannelli, and it's called "I Just Want to Stop and Get One of My Brother Hulk and Get One of My Brother Jumal."
Mr. Elias, can we say hello to people in the world famous chat room, or is it empty as usual?
Well, no, Mr. Covina Man is in there with us. Man.
Oh,
he has
of course.
A comment I want to read. Yep.
All right, we'll definitely read it during that time. What's up, Covina? That's my guy right there. I'm going to say what's up to the preacher. What's happening, Pastor? How you doing? Praise God. You know, us trying to make sure we live in our best life. I want to also say what's happening to Sabrina. I want to say what's up to Reginald and Tanisha. We haven't heard from you in a minute. Yeah, I know who you are. You comment every now and then. She's from NYC. And I can't wait to read what she has to say. I'm cooling your comments down now, Tanisha. I can't wait to read them during the State Your Case part of the show. All right, we are running behind. We got to get to this last topic because I definitely want to get some commentary on it. Here it is.
Online radio at its best.
Now, a Republican lawmaker is seeking to eliminate the party entirely. A bill filed today called the Ultimate Cancel Act would decertify any political party that previously advocated for slavery. News Channel 8's Capitol Bureau reporter Libby Dean has more.
The real question here is if this bill will get any traction. Democrats don't think so, calling it unconstitutional. Even so, it's been filed, and the bill's sponsor says it would have been hypocritical not to do so.
A Florida lawmaker wants to get rid of Florida's Democratic Party.
To me, it would be absolutely hypocritical not to cancel the Democrat Party themselves.
That's essentially what the Ultimate Cancel Act, a bill filed by State Senator Blazing Golia, would do if it became law. The bill requires the Division of Elections to cancel filings of any political party that has previously advocated for slavery. Under the bill, voters registered with any canceled party would become NPA voters.
It would be interesting to find out if those voters who are now decertified and then they become NPA choose to go back to the party now that they know that they were the party that was pushing the issue and advocating for the issue of slavery.
The proposal facing widespread criticism from Democrats.
Shame on the radical Republican Party for initiating some type of a piece of legislation of this magnitude. This is what a dictator does
House Speaker Fentress Driscoll calls it a distraction.
I mean, it's a complete and absolute abuse. It's unconstitutional. This bill will go nowhere. It is meritless. It deserves zero airtime.
This bill was just filed in the Senate today, so there isn't a House companion just yet. And legislative leaders so far are commenting on whether they'll take this up during the upcoming session.
Okay. So now, programming note, we're not going to have an NPR News update. We will do State Your Case because I did pull some comments down. So we have 5 minutes to chop this one up, and we're going to stay strict on time. All right. Interesting, this topic, because they were talking about eradicating the Democratic Party in Florida. But you heard the reasonings why they did it. And we all know that back in, you know, listen, that's you heard the term Dixiecrats. I mean, we know back in the day, Democrats were, you know, I mean, wasn't George McGovern, not George McGovern, but what's the guy that was, Wallace, wasn't George Wallace a Democrat? So we know that back in the day, Democrats, Southern Democrats, was definitely in favor of segregation and things of that nature. This is interesting. I'm not going to give my opinion. I just want to hear what you all have to say about this, because as you fast forward this into the present day and time, we all know what they're trying to do. But the reasoning for him introducing this bill is what caught my attention, because I didn't know that until I did the research for the show. That being said, I guess the logical person to go to here is Jerome. And once again, we got to stay within our time frame. So, Jerome, give me your comments on this, man. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. You know, you take the party who is the least socially conscious people on the planet. What they're doing is just trying to disrupt the Democrats at any place that they can, because that's just, it's dumb legislation, right, to say that we want to disband anybody who – we can say next time we want to disband anybody who went against abortion or went for abortion.
Right.
Like, you just pick a topic and just say that. And so I think the Republicans are clever to, whenever they have a chance to, you know, beat the other party down, they will take it. They will take it as much as they don't care about any issue or topic. They care about hurting you. And I just recently had a conversation about this with this system anyway when it comes to systemic racism, is that it will fight against black people just because they're on one side. They don't care what the topic is or the other. It just pretty much says, we want you guys to be gone. And I think that's what this is.
Huh, interesting. What about you, Vanessa? What do you think about this? The fact that they're saying this is the party that supported segregation and racism and slavery. You know, I think that's just a cover. But what do you think about this?
The same thing I think about them saying that you can't discuss black history in the schools. The same thing that I think about all the other stuff that they're doing that is against black people. So I think it's all ridiculous. It's a ploy.
But hold on, you said something interesting. I'm just trying to, how does that correlate with, this culture of not discussing, you know, black history in schools versus this?
Is it what you're talking about, not wanting to discuss slavery by getting rid of the people who had something to do with it back in the day? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just asking. I was just trying to figure out how you made the connection. That's all.
What you were saying when you were discussing that, is that what you were saying?
No. What I was saying was that what he's trying to push this bill under the cover of, well, this is the real reason, because he knows what type of flack he's going to get for this bill. So, I just want to make sure that we understand and call Democrats. Let's see if you're going to support a party, because everyone knows that most African Americans support the Democratic Party. So what this guy is trying to say in so many words, listen, now that you know that the Democratic Party supported slavery back in the day, now you can re-register and see if you really and truly want to support the party that supported slavery. I mean, it's a bunch of nonsense, in my opinion. But that's what he's doing.
I don't understand why they coming up with all of this. Why?
Because distraction. It's a distraction. Republicans are really good at this. They do like pop culture stuff in their legislation to get people talking about that, so you won't know that they're curving your voting rights and taken away, trying to get rid of fraternities at HBCUs. Like, they're doing other things, so they do pop culture stuff to get you distracted so that we talk about it.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Elias, unfortunately. Yeah, it's good. Mr. Elias, we only have about 2 minutes, man, so I'm going to give them to you. You get the last word anyway. So what do you think about this proposal?
Isn't DeSantis supposed to be against cancel culture? Isn't this what he's running on? Cancel culture? And he's trying to cancel the Democratic Party. So and he's a bit of a hypocrite by saying that because, you know, and everybody knows that Democrats, yeah, back in the day they were the party for slavery. But how things have changed. How about we ban the party for white supremacy? Well, that would probably be the Republicans, because they got the party of white supremacy. Let's ban them. So I mean, if you want to talk about banning some for somebody something did in the back in the day, then hey, let's ban the Republican Party altogether. So stop it.
Okay. Well said. All right, we got to move on. Here we go. All right, it's time for us. We're going to skip the news. We're going to jump straight into comments because I think we have some interesting comments to read. All right, it is time for State Your Case. Pastor Steve, State Your Case, where we read comments from the World Famous Chat Room and from social media sites that we monitor throughout the course of the show. Mr. Elias, man, what do you have?
I got Covina, man. When you said black DAs and prosecutors aren't afraid of Trump and his crew.
Say that again.
He said black DAs and prosecutors aren't afraid of Trump and his crew.
That's true. And that's another reason why people are trying to say, yeah, we know why he's coming after him, you know, whatever. All right, so I have a few to read here. I mean, 3 minutes. All right, so Pastor Steve says, peace and blessings, family. Great show, as always. Thought-provoking topics by the best podcasters in the land. Man, I'll take that one. High five to you, Pastor. Clarence from Hope, Arkansas says, BS, I agree with Jerome. Stop trying to play both sides of an argument. If a person is wrong, they are wrong. Stop this nonsense. Hey, man, Clarence, tell us how you really feel. All right, Reginald from Ohio says, rest in peace to one of the coolest white boys to ever hold a mic. To Bobby Caldwell. I agree with you on that. Let me read two more. Let me see. Here's somebody named C from Saginaw, Michigan. The madness continues. Stop making excuses for using the N-word. If the word is offensive, everyone should stop using it. Talk about your double standards, and that's your opinion. Last one. Tanisha. I did say we get to Tanisha. Tanisha, here is... What are you saying? Here is the one thing that I agree with Miss Vanessa. That's right, Tanisha. Tanisha would be the one that be talking crazy to Vanessa, and I don't like that, Tanisha. She said, I do agree with Miss Vanessa. Men should stop calling women B-I-T-C-H's, period. Okay, well said, and there you go. Those are comments. Well, those are the ones I'm going to read this morning because we just don't have time. We just had so much fun. And you know what time it is.
Online radio at its best.
All right. Sorry, folks. Great conversations this morning. And the purpose of the show is for us to engage in conversation. Sometimes those conversations last longer than they should, but that's okay. That's what we do. We talk. That's what we do on the show. It is time for our final thoughts. And ladies are first. Ms. Vanessa Mae Belli from the McAnally. Final thoughts.
You know, everybody's raised differently. Everybody's parents flip their butts over different things. Everybody, except when the street lights got turned off, you should have been in the house by then. But anyway, I just have a problem with the language in the songs and the language that we're using among each other sometimes. Because if we don't stop it, we can't get mad when other people use it, whether it's out of endearment of love or it's not. I just, like my daughter and them, and they're all HBCU educated, and guess what they say? Negro, please. My daughter never uses that word. Her friends don't use that word. They say Negro, please. Now, y'all know the other way of saying it. So I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be two-sided. I'm not trying to be any kind of two-sided. I'm just trying to say that your children sit back or listening to what's coming out of your mouth and think it's okay. So if you want your children to say it, then go right on ahead. Knock yourself out. And I mean the B word, and the W word, and the H word, and however else you want to spell it. So children are listening
to what's coming out of your mouth. So you do what you want to do, but your grandchildren are listening to what's coming out of your mouth. And so, anyway, y'all have a good week, and I will continue to pray for this country. And y'all make sure that y'all get ready to get out there and vote, because the white supremacy and the white people are crazy. Some of them are really crazy. Not all, but some of them are crazy.
I thought we were going to get out of here without her saying all of them.
There you go. One last swing before the show ends. There you go. Y'all too. I love you. All right. The man. Whatever. All right. The smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Esprit, is in the house. Final thoughts, brother.
Yeah. I just still wanted to also comment on that, to say that we have two different cultures. And when somebody says Negro, please, we know they mean the N-word. Like, we can read between the lines. Like, you don't actually have to say it for people to go nucka or whatever. No, I'm just saying we're clever in our language that we create all of these different variations that kind of has the same effect. And all I'm saying is that our culture does not translate to other cultures, right? We're unique. We change language. We just kind of keep it moving. And we should not expect anybody else to get us. We should not say that just because we can do it that white people shouldn't be able to do it. We shouldn't do that. We just, like, need to say that if you don't understand the culture, don't use the words within that culture if you don't know what they mean. So if somebody, I've seen women call each other the B word, but I don't call women that, right? Because by right, if I did and I didn't know that woman and I called her that, we ain't on it like that, so she should be mad at me. So I'm saying all that to say that language kind of works like this. You will get the results based upon the words that you choose, and if you choose to use a word that gets you hit in the mouth, that is just your choice. Good luck and good night on that.
You sound like Walter Cronkite signing off. Good luck and good night. All right, the man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S, man. Final thoughts.
Hey, man, the mortal words of Biz Markie, you work for UPS. Now, you put the first word with that. Hey, look, folks, get out and vote, because if you don't, you don't have a voice, man. So stop making excuses about why you can't vote or why you shouldn't vote. Look, it's not even our right to vote, because if they feel like it, they can take that right away after 10 years. So get out and vote and put the right people in office so they can make that thing permanent.
You said the white people are the right people.
I said the right people.
So you say white. Okay, I thought so. Yeah, okay. He said the right people, man, not the white people. Okay, well, that's what you meant to say.
Right.
All right, my final thoughts are pretty quick. You know, Sherman, I didn't read your comment from Converse, Texas. He said, go on and say what you were going to say, Jay. I know what you're talking about, Sherm. Let me tell you something, man. Self-incrimination is not what I'm all about, so I'm going to leave that alone. I'm just going to say we're glad that everyone's listening to the show. We're glad that you are in the hizzy, and we want to thank you for your continued support of The Serious Side. It is truly a blessing to have conversations with you all every Sunday morning. When you guys contact us or if we see you in person, we feel that we've been knowing you for years, and so that's just one of the perks of doing this every Sunday. And on that note, Mr. L to the E to the S, if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for The Serious Side of the Jay Rowe Show.
Peace and blessings, folks. Have a wonderful work week. Be safe. Make sure you wear your seatbelts at all times. And remember, if it is Sunday, and if it, huh? Yes, what she said. So for Vanessa, for Jerome, for Mr. Elias, I'm Jay Rouse, and have a wonderful work week. And remember, if it is Sunday, and we're having a wonderful time, and if we're talking serious stuff, it is The Serious Side of the Jay Rouse Show. Coming up next, on a need-to-know basis, with my brother from another mother, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Happy Sunday, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Talk to you soon, Jay and Les.
All right, Vanessa.
I love her.
The First Lady dazzles on election night in a...
Tell me, what do you want me to do?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Folks, you know what time it is. It is time for On the Need to Know Basis with my brother Jerome. Mr. Jerome, it's me, man. What you got going on this morning as I pass the baton to you and your homeboy, Mr. L to the E to the S?
We are pretty much going to talk about Vanessa to all the show, so I'm a fighter. So, if y'all want to hear our new Vanessa topic show, today is your Vanessa Black History Month show that we're going to talk about Vanessa. I'm just joking. We're not going to talk about Vanessa. I don't know. We're going to try to catch up on some old news, some new news. We're going to talk about the Trump folks and, you know, supporters trying to, you know, make a lot of noise so he don't get indicted, you know, that kind of stuff. So just regular news stuff. That's all we're doing. You know, I forgot to give us some Black History Month stuff to put them on deck for today, but I'll probably pull some out of the hat as we go along. But what was the first topic on the show, Elias, that I missed? I missed the very first topic.
The arrest of will Trump get arrested and be charged this week?
Well, okay. Well, so matter of fact, I guess I'll start with my Trump story then, because since I missed it, I didn't get a chance to talk about it. So, you know, Trump supporters, Trump, he is calling for his supporters to protest his potential indictment this week. So I guess Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who said intimidation tactics won't be tolerated, and he released a memo from his office staff assuring them their safety without using Trump by name, but mentioned an ongoing investigation by his office. And it comes as reports emerge that Trump will be indicted as early as this week in a case involving that hush money payment to the porn woman, Stormy Daniels, and that's how the story wrote it. I called her a woman, but they said porn star, but I don't know about a star. I don't watch porn, so I can't verify that. But that was before he ran for president. Now, here, you know what's the interesting story after that? The story was that Secret Service will decide whether to handcuff Trump if he's arrested.
Really?
Yeah, he's traveling to Tulsa. I don't know why it's for a wrestling tournament. I don't know why the heck he would go to a wrestling tournament. But anyway, officers could handcuff them if they arrest him, you know, next week. And they're saying that the Secret Service has to make that decision. Because remember, the Secret Service is still the police. So he can't use the Secret Service as their, like they were personal bodyguards.
That's what we were talking about earlier. We were talking about that earlier, saying with the Secret Service. Well, we were talking about who was. I don't even think they'll bring them in, to be honest, because it'd be too much mayhem, too much stuff going on, man, for them to bring him in. And it'd be too much violence. But, you know, you understand the Secret Service, that's interesting. I never thought about them as far as arresting him.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't actually believe that there will be mayhem in doing that, because the police, the Secret Service is the police, and they work for the government. So he's used them as security. And so who's going to fight him? Like, I don't know, what's his wife's name? What you going to throw hands on Secret Service? Like, I can't imagine how that's going to look. They'll just put him in the car like they normally drive him around, lock the doors, and be like, we out. Like, they have to bring him in. So I don't think that would be – I think that Fox News will be doing a free Trump T-shirts, but I don't think they can do anything. He's going to have to show up once he's indicted. This is not – every state, the way the United States is built, since every state has its own constitution, it is its own sovereign government. If the federal system breaks down, that's how it was created. But the federal system supersedes everything. So I've seen news stories where DeSantis, you know, people are asking DeSantis to bring out the National Guard in case they surround Mar-a-Lago, just in case. He'll still be house arrest. The Secret Service is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the right to, I mean, they receive their orders from the people who pay their checks. So the head of the Secret Service says, arrest that fool. Trump, He don't own the Secret Service.
Hmm.
I don't know why people kind of feel like that. And I think that Trump's not loved like people believe that he is. His idea of oppressing people is loved. But a lot of white supremacists have gone to jail. You just happen to have one that was president. That's pretty much it.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. Was that a... Did everybody think that he wasn't going to go to jail? Is that what happened?
I don't believe he's going at all. I didn't believe he was going to get arrested, to be honest. I believe he's going to get him out, and then all of a sudden they'll let him go.
I think they'll immediately set bail for him, but I think he's going to have to show up. He's going to have to answer an indictment in New York City. That is not even. I don't even think that's an option. So I don't think they'll handcuff him. They'll let him turn himself in, like they do white-collar crime. You know, if they want to arrest, what's the guy from Chase, Jamie Dimon or something, if they want to arrest, you know, whoever the guy who owns Tesla, if they want Elon Musk, they would let them turn themselves in. They wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be in the middle of the night raid and handcuff and doing the perp walk stuff. They would get to turn themselves in. But they still would have to turn themselves in.
Yeah.
So no matter how that works. So that should be interesting. They're going to sneak him in the back door. They're not going to, you know what I mean? It'll be, they won't have any cameras there. It'll be a sketch artist.
You don't think he would put it out there in the atmosphere to let everybody know that he's going to be there and get arrested on this day and this is what they're going to do to him? So that he could incite a riot.
Yeah, see, he can incite anything that he wants to. That's not a deterrent from going to jail, but he won't be able to. I don't think that people are going to cover for him to not have him go through that process. He may not get convicted. He may not. They may put it off for another year and a half, like once the court proceedings start. But it depends on how aggressive New York is. And the irony that saved this country over the eons is black people. So the black woman, Letitia James, New York State Attorney General, she's going at, you know, the tax stuff from the foundation side. The black man who's the Manhattan DA is going at them. It's the black folks that's holding down law and order in this place, opposed to the white folks who recuse themselves from it. Because all the way back to James Comey, who Trump acts like is the enemy of the state, James Comey saved his butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then so did a Mueller. Right? He was like, we're going to leave Congress, this up to Congress, too. They knew all this stuff on him. So white folks are finding their responsibility because they will not even charge rich white folks. They don't like to do it.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to watch, but like I said, you know, if this was Elon Musk or any of those guys, they would literally let them turn themselves in. Where OJ, you know, they were like, oh, come in, but we want to show him in handcuffs. Like, or take somebody like Michael Irvin just for having a conversation that they flash, and because it was a white woman, now she's all scared and fragile. But the thing that I didn't say on the show, on the other show, was that we know as black people, that whole Karen thing is real, where some white female is going to sensationalize the fact that she tried to bully him, and then when he, you know, roared at her, then she wants to act scared and her life was in danger. It was 45 seconds. She could have left at any time. And they should ask the question, why was she talking to him? Because she could have left at any time. He wasn't holding her against her will. She voluntarily came up to him. So, yeah, we always have that, those debates on what black people's disposition needs to be with white females in particular. So I don't care if it's white males or white females, you have no duty to retreat. Your white folks get let off all the time of charges because of those laws and saying that they don't have a duty to retreat, but black people do?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. you know. So, yeah, so that's something that we're always fighting, is trying to figure out how to make white folks happy with us. And I think that that's not something that ever is going to, that's never going to happen. Like, they're never going to be like, you know what, we need to be fair to black people. That day is never coming. I hate to be Chris Rock on this, you know, just to tell you that that's not coming. Now, did you see the Chris Rock special? I meant to ask you.
No, I haven't. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. So on that, we'll talk about the later. But Chris Rock's special, I only really saw the end of it. I didn't watch all of it, but I've seen clips of it. And you know, he was attacked live at the Oscars, and people are now criticizing him for saying something back. But here's the thing: if you attack a comedian, they're gonna roast your butt. Like, you should know who you were slapping, because he's going to have a mic at some point, and he's going to get news covered. So, yeah, Will Smith said that he felt like he was attacked and embarrassed. Nobody's going to feel sorry for Will.
No.
He was an aggressor.
Get that one.
Yeah, I think Chris is the only person he would feel sorry for, because, like Chris said in the special, he's like, he's bigger than me, he can beat me. You got Muhammad Ali fighting Pookie from New Jack City. That, and it was literally funny, but it was true. Chris has been bullied all his life, and you're going to bully the guy who's been bullied. That doesn't make sense. So anyway, it was an interesting thing. So let me, I'll go to some news. You know, artificial intelligence, you know, from them using this AI stuff for ChatGPT and to create text and to write, you know, people past the bar and kind of stuff. They tested the AI stuff and put it to standardized tests, and it passed the bar pretty easy. So people can use ChatGPT to cheat on tests, apparently. There's another facet of artificial intelligence, is that it develops cancer treatments within 30 days. So, and
really?
It also, yeah, they're saying that it's predicting how long patients have to live by reading doctor's notes. So your AI will read the doctor's notes and say, oh, okay, with these symptoms, this is what our estimation is. Now, I don't know if I like this, but at the same time, why don't you read the doctor's notes and say, your doctor's mistreating you, you want to live longer, do this, right? Like, why don't they do that part? So AI has proven that is more useful than generating images and text. And so there's two new models that are revolutionizing the medical industry, and it with new cancer drugs and life expectancy predictions of patients. But we don't know if the new cancer drugs work. We're just saying the AI has been creating new cancer treatment drugs.
I think Elon Musk, he had something out, and they're predicting that in 2025 there's going to be a catastrophic hurricane in Florida that wipes Miami out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this, and it's something new on, it's some new AI system that he has. And I'm thinking to myself, this is getting outrageous, man. Everybody's going to AI, and that shit is scary to me.
Right, because it's doing, I mean, you would look at it like this. If it's doing models, like predictable models, it should tell you how to deploy your resources or how you should be preparing for these, you know, these type of events that you think are coming. So AI can probably change the way you prepare for stuff, because you have, you know, Florida's governor spending money on nonsense and deporting people where he should be putting it on a seawall, or trying to figure out how to protect their residents against natural disasters. What they're going to do is just go to the federal government. So they're not spending any of their localized money trying to protect themselves. This is Florida and their legislature. So we're talking to state officials are going, hey, let's not have black people learn about black history or white people learn black history. Like, they're doing superficial stuff opposed to preparing for the defense of, you know, or the defense and safety of its residents. Like, they're that's maddening. So they're playing culture war stuff without worrying about that. And, you know, you have all of these senior communities. What do you think they're going to do during a natural disaster?
Really?
So if they get cut off from everybody else, you know, what are you going to do? So AI is doing predictability models, but the trick with AI is, I like to remind people, it is white folks feeding information to their feet. It has a bias because it's looking at it only through the eyes of white folks. Mm. So all of their fears are plugged inside of AI as well. So AI is, it just kind of really is like an extension of their mind a lot of times. And I think a lot of people don't really kind of consider that as your programmer is, and I'm a programmer by profession. If your programmer has a bias, they're only programming algorithms that benefit them from their own perspective. So when they start having AI predict models about who's going to commit crimes and stuff, it is always going to come up roses with black people, right? Like that's what fear is. Whereas we know that there's no such thing as black on black crime. You know, their white on white crime is just, by percentage, is just as high as black people committing crimes, or Italian on Italian, or Jewish on Jewish crime. It's always, the numbers are always the same. So, but they won't program it that way because their fears are that black people are somehow going to do something to them. So we'll always have a higher priority in AI of having a fear factor. Have you ever seen I was just recently talking about this, where Kodak, when they first came out with True Color film, it was because if you look at anybody's yearbook from about, I want to say, the mid-80s.
I know where you're going with this.
Black people look really dark or ashy or whatever because the film did not distinguish between different hues of brown. So it was the chocolate companies and the furniture companies that made them change film because they couldn't take, color difference between oak and walnut and when they take for ads. And Kodak came out with True Color film just for that. So black people are not recognized on film or through camera lenses because of that. Most detectors, those sensors for detecting motion, because those cameras are built off the same thing. And it was a very little change that they had to make. They had to add like three colors in there for it to be able to do that, and white folks intentionally did not do it. Or whether they intentionally did or not, they didn't do it. So,
wow.
Yeah. So if you can easily look that up on the internet for anybody listening, that was done intentionally, and not until Oprah bought one of the first cameras that had one of the lenses that differentiated different colors of brown. It was Oprah in the 90s, the first camera. Now, we don't use them standardized today still. That's why whether you have an iPhone or whatever, those cameras have a problem with facial recognition with black people still, because they're using the same technology. So when people see that, they're like, wait a minute, what do you mean by I have a faulty camera? It's the lens. It's the lens that doesn't differentiate black people. All right. Now, there's a company called it's Sanofi. They're joining the list of insulin manufacturers to cap off the price of insulin to $35. So this company, Sanofi has become the third company to announce the price cuts up to 78% with Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly have revealed similar reductions to their insulin prices. So for people who are diabetic, their prices are going down, are capped at $35. It didn't even have to be that high anyway. They were just gouging for years because it was certain demographics and they were just billing your insurance company. All right. Now, there are some carbon monoxide alarms that are sold online that fail to detect carbon monoxide. Now,
what?
Federal officials are warning that the testing found devices made by two Chinese companies. One is QSMOC and Gibson. This might be just an acronym, but it's like Guild Union or something. They do not flash the red light and start beeping loudly when exposed to carbon monoxide or dangerous levels of carbon monoxide. They were sold for between $16 and $40 at online retailers, including Amazon. And so both devices are registered to Shenzhen, China, I think is the name of the place. But, hey, if you have a Chinese carbon monoxide detector, you might want to get another one. See, that's why chips being made in this country is actually pretty important. So you can make our own detectors. Now, Social Security numbers of 4.2 million Americans across the country were exposed in a breach of a Miami healthcare system. So Independent Living Systems, ILS, based in Miami, Florida, has a firm that provides administrative services to Medicaid and Medicare providers. It serves over 5 million Americans. They have a security breach. You know, there's nobody who you can give your information to these days. I just want to say that for the record.
Mm-mm.
It's going to get out.
That's why I keep my credit locked, man. I got all three credit bureaus. I keep it locked until I need it. If I need somebody to look at my credit, I'm like, can I unlock it now? Now you look at it. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to lock it right back as soon as you're done looking.
Yep. The whole thing is that's a – I don't give anybody my Social Security number, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Not no more. You know, so even if they ask, you know, it is not illegal to give a different number unless it's tax related. So I remember I took this insurance test called the LOMA. It's like to become an insurance agency. I used to work for an insurance company, so I just took it just to take it. And they said, okay, we need your Social Security number because your grades or your test scores are going to come back this specific Social Security number. And I made up a number, and they said, we don't care. Because I kept telling them, I'm like, it's against the law for you to use our number for anything that's not tax-related. And they said, yeah, we understand, but this is how our system works. And I said, well, you guys are going to have to alphanumeric search my name to get my grades because I'm made up a number with my home address and my phone number at the time. Like, I just made a number up.
Wow.
So, yep, that's the easier thing to do than actually have to do fraud detection when somebody says there's a Social Security breach or a breach with your information.
Mm.
Let's see. Yep. So, you know, U.S. has the lowest life expectancy of all G7 nations. Now, here's another alarming story. I know this sounds like bad news today. So the analysis shows that Americans now aren't even in the top 50 in life expectancy.
Because we work and I've been to other countries. Our food is horrible. Our work is horrible. These people don't, when I went to Brazil, man, I tasted a steak over there. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, is this what steak is supposed to taste like?
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, because we are literally killing ourselves and don't care. Like, our capitalism doesn't allow you to care about, like, what you're doing to the environment, what you're doing to people. It really does not care. So they're saying that, you know, life expectancy, you know, I guess it's like 70 years ago, people in America could expect to live until they were 68. But now the country ranks 13 globally behind, like, Norway and Sweden and Denmark and all these other countries because our life expectancy, and it's pretty much, it doesn't say this in the study, but I guarantee you it's pretty much our diet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. it's our diet and our stress. People
yeah.
make you think that, you know, your job defines you. I've been
mm-hmm.
watching a lot of, you know, short clips, YouTube, Facebook, whatever, clips of especially women who are like, if you don't make over a certain amount of money, you are not, you know. And I'm like, boy, you are trying
yeah.
to stress everybody out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is wrong with y'all? Young kids
yep.
are really high on that. I want six figures and this and that. I'm like, that is crazy. People
mm-hmm.
used to live to have a good day, like just to feel good in that day. Now you got to worry about, like, impressing somebody else with stuff that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It is worse than it's ever been. So, yeah, it's crazy. And speaking of that, you know, I have there is, if I can find it right in front of me, there is legislation that are in California that could ban foods like candies like Skittles, Sour Patch Kids, and even Campbell's soup. So there's a bill that wants to curb the use of 5 additives linked to cancer.
Mm.
So they're saying it's linked to cancer, DNA, and organ damage, and a bunch of industry businesses have argued that the additives are safe, but 5 of the additives that would be included in the ban, like 3, are already banned in the EU. So
yeah.
brominated vegetable oil, potassium bromide, and titanium dioxide, and I've heard of that specifically before. They know that they cause cancer. And it's also red dye 3 is banned from the use in cosmetic products in America. That's the only one that was banned. But the foods that can be affected, including things like jelly beans, Pez candy, fried and sugarless gum, Campbell's soup, and smaller bread brands around the country. Now, if they know that that stuff's not good for you, why are they still putting in your doggone food?
Man, I was looking at some where they said back in the 50s that the bread's molding quicker. So they put an additive in it to make it last longer. So
yeah, but it'll kill you.
It causes cancer. Yeah.
Right. Right. It's like, yeah. oh, yeah, it'll make your food last an extra 2 weeks. But it's
yeah.
going to kill you by an extra 5 years.
It's all about that money, man. That dollar bill, y'all.
Yeah, capitalism. You know,
mm-hmm.
next time you go to Brazil, holler at somebody. I think I'm going to take a road trip.
Okay,
oh,
I got you.
Good looking. All right. Now, frozen strawberries sold at Costco's, Trader Joe's, and Aldi's are recalled over fears that they have triggered hepatitis A infections in the state of Washington. So frozen organic strawberries sold to the stores, including Costco's, Aldi's, and Trader Joe's, are being recalled due to their link with an outbreak of hepatitis A. I don't know what brands they are, but I would go into any of those stores and ask them if they've pulled their frozen strawberries. So they know that that's in there. Idaho students are suing over the ban of using student ID in voting. Now, Idaho, which is a very Republican state, I don't think Democrats ever really had a chance of winning in Idaho.
No.
But they still have a new law that eliminates student IDs as acceptable forms of ID for voting.
Really?
Now, man, for 13 years, Idaho, what'd you say?
It's a student ID. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's weird about that is that when you are going to a state school and you get a student ID, it is technically a state ID.
Right.
But what they're doing, again, Republicans, are trying to discourage young people from voting because young people see the hypocrisy and they are not voting Republican at high enough numbers, so they want to stop them from voting. Now, so,
I mean, I'm going to go to school and get a degree for somebody else.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Come on.
Like, yep. Now, for 13 years, Idaho has had a law in place requiring voters to show a valid photo ID before voting, and that didn't curb the voters. Because remember when they first started voter ID, they were like, hey, we need to have this to prove that. Now they want to curb what kind of ID that you can have. So the voter ID, I know, the acceptable forms of voter ID, you know, for the last 13 years have been student ID cards along with driver's license and other photo IDs issued by the Department of Transportation available to those who don't drive, because you can have a non-driver a license. And you can use passport, tribal photo IDs, and since 2017, you can use your concealed carry licenses to vote. But they don't want students to vote.
Okay.
Again, it is a Republican trend, but it is a very Republican area that they're still trying to curb anybody else. You know, I guess they figure students, that's just a demographic that they don't have to reach. But, you know, having an ID is stupid anyway. Because you have to, you know, you have to pay for an ID.
Right.
So, yeah, that's not a given. So, anyway, I don't get that story. All right, so taking vitamin D each day can cut your chances of getting dementia, according to a new study. Experts say that vitamin D helps reduce the buildup of plaque linked to Alzheimer's disease, and they found that those who took supplements live free from Alzheimer's longer. So I'm sorry, that's dementia. Free from dementia longer. So anyway, vitamin D has a lot of positive effects in you, but go out and get in the sun a little bit. We'll get you some vitamin D if you have, you know, you have to use, you know, get vitamin C and all these things to help you absorb that light anyway. So vitamin D, another study that says that you get some vitamin D. Now, see, I would do a race thing on this, but Vanessa's not here. I was going to say, you don't use suntan beds because it doesn't give you vitamin D, but, you know, Vanessa would object to me saying that. So, not until she's here. All right, now the mortgage demands plummet to a 28-year low as an average rate increases, the interest rate increases to 6.71 just this spring. Home buying season is supposed to heat up. So for the week ending February 28th, the average contract rate on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage increased 6.71%. That's according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Delta Airlines agrees that a 34% pay increase for pilots. So Delta is, you know, has finally settled theirs, because I know they were having pilot issues, but that 34% pay increase is worth up to $90,000. Now, other major airlines are set to follow, but the Airline Pilots Association said 78% of Delta's 15,000 pilots voted to support the contract, which will lead to an accumulative $7 billion in pay raises. Now, see, that would be unreasonable, but apparently they have that kind of money. They've just been holding out. So I hate to even say the dollar amount, because people will see $7 billion and be like, oh, that's a lot of money. Not when they have probably profited somewhere in the area of like $800 million and don't pay taxes. So they can give up $7 billion. Now, Walmart has ordered their workers not to use the shared company secrets or customer information with AI like chat GPT. So 1 month after Amazon and Microsoft issued similar warnings, staff is saying that chat GPT could possibly leak confidential information, and Walmart told its employees to avoid inputting company secrets while also noting that its use in day-to-day work, they should not use it. Now, here's the thing. It's like Facebook. Everybody's putting their personal information on Facebook and their pictures and all of their where they're going on vacation. And Facebook owns all of that data. So anytime you put something into those AI software, they are accumulating data on you. So don't voluntarily put yourself in none of that stuff.
Yeah, I never, man. I watch people say, I'm going here, I'm doing this, I'm here, I'm there. Nope. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You won't know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I won't even tell you when I got back. I'll be like, I wouldn't say I've been there. It's like, what me?
Yeah.
What me?
Exactly.
What me? All right, now, TikTok will limit screen time for users under 18 to 60 minutes a day. So, in the coming weeks, children who have a screen time limit will have it set automatically and will have to enter a password code in order to continue watching. So your parents can set a passcode in TikTok. But again, I don't know if people hate TikTok because of
the Chinese affiliation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or do they hate it because TikTok is now starting to become the way that people are getting information? They're getting information in very short chunks. Like, I
think Trump hated it because that's how they applied for all of his. I think it runs back to Trump because remember all those people went to TikTok and they applied for all those the rallies. They're talking about how full the rallies is going to be and all the people didn't show up to his rally.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They were just like reserving space and didn't show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's like I said, for people using all of this stuff, I think that it's just another means of communication. And once it becomes too effective, we start to have problems with it. But the Chinese government does own that. Like they own all of these chips that are in all of these devices that we have. So who's to say that they can't hack those as well? I guess we didn't worry about that. We're just worrying about, you know, some person on there doing the dance, right? Like TikTok. You don't have to put in true information into TikTok. Do you remember when Facebook started doing that? They kept saying that you had to use your real name and had to prove who you are to get a Facebook account. They didn't need that stuff, and they still don't need it.
Uh-uh.
So if you go on my Facebook and you look at any of that information, like any of that stuff, it is wrong. So good luck. But I did that on purpose because you should not be putting out your personal data. They end up owning that and they get to profile you. So I can tell when I start looking at, videos or something, that they are – that algorithm is giving you certain videos that they think that you may like based upon whatever it is that you searched while you was in Facebook.
Yeah, I went to Google and I set my profile up so that, hey, man, after every 2 days, it erases all my information. So good luck with your algorithm.
Right.
I know if I apply for something, here would be over here. I'm like, what? All right.
And I don't know what I did, but mine has changed over the last week. I'm not on very much, but I noticed the stuff that I usually see come up, it's like totally different. And I was like, yeah, there's something I watched or I did that changed my algorithm because it just doesn't, it doesn't send me the same like stories, or I don't see the same thing that I've seen for the last who knows how long. It kind of changed on me last minute.
Mm.
Now, Oregon is considering a monthly $1,000 no strings payment for homeless residents. And, other cities and states have done this as well. It's called universal base income. It's a pilot that would cost, what they're saying is if every city followed suit, it would cost $33 trillion. That's just to scare you. But the bill would establish the People Housing Assistance Fund demonstration program through the state, through their Department of Human Services. But Oregon is considering a no-strings payment. Now, even when I hear stories like this, people would, like, complain and say, yeah, they're getting free money and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
I don't think homelessness, that is $1,000 just to come up for people who are homeless. That, I mean, you probably still don't have no credit. So
no. There's
a lot of things that you can't do even if you had cash. Just literally trying to get a roof over your head and just in your own humanity having some dignity, some clothes and getting something to eat. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I know, again, since this is my hating Vanessa show, just to make her mad at me next time, I'm sure Vanessa would have disagreed with me.
Come on, man. As far as that goes, man, what does millionaires and billionaires get away with paying taxes, man? Make them pay their fair share. That's all I'm saying. I can't
stand
the fact that they don't pay their fair share. They get around all that stuff, and then they make poor people fight with each other. Look, they getting extra welfare, and you getting extra hell. Trump got $70 million back, didn't put money into the system.
Right.
So. Elon Musk does it. So does what's the guy from Amazon? Jeff Bezos. He gets
Jeff Bezos.
All these people get tremendous tax breaks. So hey man, pay your fair share. We're gonna have to worry about homelessness, poor people, or nothing in this country.
Right, and you have to remember that even though we're talking about this stuff now. Trump has cut about $1 trillion of taxes that we were getting previously. So when we say, oh, the U.S. don't have any money, if you wouldn't have gave rich people a $1 trillion tax break, we would actually have money.
Right.
So it's funny how the Republicans will break you and then blame you for being broke.
Right.
That's their whole – that was an old strategy. I think it was in the late – I think it was in the 80s where Reagan kept saying something about starving the beast, right? Like that they wanted to starve the federal government so much that it caused hardship that they would have to cut some of those things that are, you know, safety nets, you know, Social Security and all of those other things. But they wanted to break the U.S. so it couldn't pay people like – I mean, that's just sick, though. I don't even want to – I don't even know how to say that, but – yeah, that's a little sick. Now, the NFL doesn't have enough votes to force Dan Snyder to sell the Washington Commanders.
What else?
Now, the team owners also don't want to set a precedent that can cost them their own team. So the NFL reportedly does not have enough votes to force that fool to sell. Now, they forced the guy in basketball because – that was going to go all bad because the basketball players are the face of the sport. Football players, they wear helmets. You don't really see them. So the owners have more control over football players than they do on basketball. But Snyder, they said, is listening to offers, but it's unclear if he will sell. But they're trying to force him. They won't vote to force him to sell, but they want him to sell.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really going to happen.
Yeah, he's like, I'm listening to offers, but
yeah, I'm listening. You know. I ain't gonna sell nothing. Michael Jordan is selling his majority share in the Charlotte,
in the Hornets.
Yeah, he's selling his majority.
Is he really? Yeah, he's getting out of it, huh?
Yeah. You know, they said he's only been in the playoffs in this 17 years 3 times. So, and don't nobody want to come play for him. I'm like, yeah, well, there you go.
Right, because Michael was a bully when he played, and he was pretty mean, right? So when people say, you know, how tenacious Mike and Kobe was, it's because their personalities, they're like driven very differently. And so you can't – they're not going to finesse you and be like, hey, we need to work together. I'm going to make you better. They only made themselves better. And they were competitors, but it's just like in the gladiator sense that – they are the best person on the team. They're not going to – they don't really make everybody else better when you're actually like that. You know, that's why when people keep having that criticism of LeBron and Michael or Kobe, LeBron is more like Magic, where he is really sharing and trying to, you know, there are some people who don't like to be the center of attention. He's good, but if he can do it in a team way, he probably gets some more satisfaction than his own personal accolades.
Yeah.
So I think when he broke Kareem's record, I think he broke it, I think it was like 78 games less than Kareem took to have that record. It was something crazy like that. And he's not even a score first kind of guy, where Michael and Kobe were.
Yeah.
So that's what makes LeBron's accomplishments much more meaningful to me, is that he's not a score first person, and he has broken all these records and have all these, you know, assists, you know, accolades and all of that other stuff. So, you know, have to give much respect to him for that. Now, you know, America's best city for singles has been revealed. So I'm going to give you one shot, Elias, a Tel Aviv. And you can't say Brazil because that's where we're going. Best singles in America, in this part of America, not South America, in the U.S. What would you think the top cities randomly would be?
Probably Los Angeles, man.
Okay.
Probably Los Angeles.
Los Angeles? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll go down the list. Now, this is going to take everybody by surprise, but you know the number one city is Buffalo, New York.
What?
It beat out the top metropolitan areas to take the number one spot, because new research from it's called Thriving Center of Psychology, it found that Buffalo has the most single women per capita in the country. Ooh. And it's also the ninth most single men and the third most single people in general per capita, according to data. So they found that three-quarters of singles struggle to find a match without using, like, dating apps. So Buffalo's position was the best place for a relationship was submitted in 2020, according to LendingTree. I didn't know why they were doing this. Well, I actually know why. They scientifically calculated which major city is the most single-friendly because of, like, low rent, short commute, and a high number of people who lived alone. And in the millennial age range, do you know they were saying that Buffalo, they said they need to split rent for people who don't need to split rent. Buffalo singles who live alone are beating places like Louisville, Kentucky, and Detroit, Michigan, who was also in the top 10. Yeah. That, how they calculate that is that you have a bunch of single people who don't have roommates and who live alone and are single. And they found that Buffalo is the top most friendly thing. So according to data, Cleveland, Ohio, St. Louis, New Orleans, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Indiana, Memphis, Tennessee round out the top 10. But the worst cities for singles are San Jose, California, San Francisco, California, Seattle, Washington, L.A., San Diego,
damn,
Houston, Texas, good Lord, New York City, Dallas, Sacramento, and Riverside, California are the worst.
Wow. So all the major cities. So they didn't say Chicago then. That's good.
No, they didn't say Chicago.
They didn't say that in New York.
Chicago fell. But,
wow.
But that's an interesting way to look at it. It's how many – they did it, LendingTree, I think they do, like, investments and I mean, they calculate data, obviously. But they're saying that people, because of them single and paying rent, they found that the highest concentration of people between a certain age range, you know, 40 or so and below and all of that, that Buffalo has the most singles. And it's not overcrowded where people are have roommates. So they're showing that the number of singles are increasing. High concentration. Now,
you have to check out Buffalo, man.
What'd you say?
I might have to check out Buffalo Shoes.
You know, I might have to go there too. Oh, and so, you know, speaking of Buffalo, have you ever watched, I think I may have mentioned this on the show before, Food That Built America? Have you ever watched
No, I haven't.
I am. Okay, so I don't know what today's episode is, but it's on the History Channel. It has a new episode tonight. But the episode 2 weeks ago was about the guy who created the Buffalo Wing.
Mm.
And we know, like all black history, here's how this goes. The people who are given credit for creating the Buffalo Wing are not the folks that created it.
Mm-hmm.
It was this black man. It was in 60, I want to say it was 61, I think it was. And so he was making wings. So if you don't know history and if you're too young to actually know this, I forgive you. But my father actually told me this because I didn't know this either. Do you know they used to throw out chicken wings back in the day?
Really?
Yeah. They used to throw them out the back door. They just didn't. Black people would eat chicken wings because white folks would throw them out. They would not eat wings.
Wow.
The food that white folks would throw, yeah, the butcher and stuff, all you had to do was go there when they were throwing that stuff out. But white people did not eat chicken wings.
Damn.
So, yeah, my father told me that. He goes, yeah, they really just didn't. And black people bought the chicken wings. They were like brats. So, you know how this goes, just like most stuff that, that black people
everything
have found delicacy
into,
in,
positive,
stuff that they didn't eat.
Negative. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, in Buffalo, I forgot the guy's name. I'll remember it next time. But, and I'm going to put this in my black history back segment. I'll make sure I jot this down. But in 61, this guy had a small little restaurant. So he would make wings. So he made the sauce and kind of breaded it and really good wings. So the Buffalo Bills at the time, I forgot who the player was, would always go there after the game. So that's what brought attention to him. And at some point, before they started selling wings and stuff at sporting events, at football stadiums, people would stop by this guy's restaurant and actually take wings to the football game. So that whole concept of having wings at football games was this black man in Buffalo who had a wing spot that was close to Buffalo Bills Stadium. So during the 60s, once the rioting started, you know, 63, 64-ish, in Buffalo, the racial stuff was going on in this country, he left Buffalo and moved to, I want to say it was Cleveland, but he moved someplace in the Midwest. And so this woman at this Italian restaurant, it was an Italian restaurant, she got, you know, she didn't get her regular shipment of, I probably chicken breast or thighs or something. And her son comes in and said that, they, you know, they were hungry. She opens up the box, and it was chicken wings. And she was like, what am I going to do with this? She just did not know what to do with them because white people didn't eat chicken like that. And so she literally used this seasoning that was used to cover up, like, rancid meat. And this is going to kill you. But it was that Louisiana Red Hot hot sauce. Well, because most people don't know that condiments was made because they were covering up bad meat back in the day. So ketchup and all of that stuff was a way that you cover up meat so you wouldn't see how bad it was.
Mm.
So she used that red. So how we eat wings today, you know, the buffalo wings with the red hot sauce and the, what else are they pouring at? It's like butter and hot sauce to help it stick. The Italian woman made wings. She cooked it, and it had no taste, and she was like, it had no seasoning. Hence where the stereotype comes from, and she made the sauce. And so how they eat sauce today is from that. Now, the interesting thing, the thing that made Buffalo Wings national was the food chain Hooters. Did you know that?
Yeah.
they literally made Buffalo Wings popular across the country. Hooters did.
Yeah, her name was Teresa Bellissimo. That's the I'm looking for the brother that created him though.
That created wings.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but I actually have it recorded that from Food. It's called Food That Built America. It comes on every Sunday. A new show is Sunday at 9, but they run a marathon, so it's probably, this is 9 o'clock Eastern, so probably at about 7 o'clock, they run a marathon, so they show the shows from, you know, the last 2 weeks. So it's they're probably going to show it today at 7 p.m. Eastern. But if you go on the Food Network, History Channel, it'll you'll definitely see that, you know, the food that built America. And I can't even remember what the guy's name is. I'm going to have to record that again to make sure I have it. But, yeah, it's a good show.
Wow. Wow, so, white folks didn't eat chicken wings. That's something else.
Right. Right. They threw that stuff out, threw out the back door. Just not, you know, again, and I know what this sounds like from the Trump people listening, from the Fox people. It's like black people created everything. And
John Young?
Yes.
What's his name? Yes. John Young. Yeah.
Yep. I kind of remembered his last name was Young, but I couldn't remember exactly what it was. But, yeah, it's John Young. And so his daughter, next time I go to Buffalo, his daughter reopened their restaurant. So even though there's this other restaurant that it's like a chain now in Buffalo that says they are the creators of the Buffalo Wings, it is actually the black folks' restaurant. And it's open now. So I can't wait to go in and taste the original recipe that he had. And, you know, it's funny, a History Channel, when they talk about this, says, you know, oh, it was well-known in the black community. So when stuff is well-known in the black community, if white folks don't know, they don't get credit. Isn't that that's still the thing in this country?
Hmm.
Right? It's like, hey, we discovered America. It's like, yeah, but people were here when you got here. It's like, no.
Yeah.
We write the history book. Yeah. We discovered it.
Yeah.
It didn't exist until white folks.
I heard this indigenous woman say, Columbus, when we discovered Columbus, he didn't discover us. So we were already here. How do you discover some person, somebody's already there? Like,
right.
A great point.
Yeah. It is strange that we still act like that as a country, that we...
Mm-hmm.
Still want to be like, okay, well, y'all didn't discover this. We discovered it. And it's like,
right.
You didn't know anything about this.
Exactly.
All right. Now, New York City will pay 300 Black Lives Matter protesters $21,500 each after they were wrongly zip-tied and hit with batons and pepper sprayed during the 2020 Bronx demonstration. That hit after George Floyd's murder. So New York City has agreed to pay more than 300 people $21,500 each.
Wow.
You know, again, you start hitting people in their pocket. So the policemen obviously don't care, but they're costing their city money, so they're going to have to curb their behavior.
Talking about defunding the police, what about that? That's defunding the police like it ain't nobody's business.
Right. They're defunding the police because the police, the police cost the money. So take it out of the police budget.
Right.
Every dime of that should need to go out of there.
Ooh.
Now, so I know I didn't do Black History. I'll do this really quick because I know we're coming up against it. But Biden gave a Vietnam hero veteran the Medal of Honor after waiting 60 years because the Army lost his paperwork. I should have played black or white on this one.
Come on, you know that.
You
got to play that one. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Colonel Paris Davis risked his life multiple times in 1965 in an ambush, and Biden just awarded him the Medal of Honor.
Wow.
Yep. All right. So they said that it was lost, and that's what we get.
Yeah.
So here we go. All right. So on that note, I was going to say, you know, I do have more, but I guess I'll end it on that note because technically we always have to end it with a Black History moment, and that would be a Black History moment to how we're still treated up in this piece.
Exactly. All right, brother. We'll see you next week there, man.
All right. See you next week. All right.
All right.
All right.